Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
More is happening in a day than previously happened in a month. More is happening in a month on the agenda of the New World Order than what happened previously in a year or even a decade. This is going to be one of the most important broadcasts I have ever done today. It is the 28th day of January, 2009. I rescheduled a guest last week because I was covering the aftermath of the Obama coronation, Kevin Annett, Reverend Kevin Annett, who documents that they're still killing Native Americans in Canada on the reservations, the children that their Canadian CPS takes from the Native families. This is on record. He caused this news a few years ago to be broken nationally in Canada. And it's an example of the level of tyranny going on in the West that the general public isn't aware of. And it shows the capacity of governments to put people in camps and to quietly, through institutions, kill them. So the Canadian Native Holocaust, and I'm not going to reschedule him today. The news that developed last night, I frankly should clear the decks, have no guest on today. But, and I'm going to get to the big news in a moment, but because this dovetails into camps and institutionalized systems through the health departments that are going to be used to put Americans in camps, it dovetails. So we're going to spend 45 minutes with him next hour. Then I've got Charles Slepian, who's in the L.A. Times article last week about hundreds and hundreds of people being charged as terrorists on planes for even arguing with stewardesses and being charged under the Patriot Act and having their due process stripped from them. And that's the whole issue, not just that they're being charged for talking back, it's that they're being charged as terrorists under the USA Patriot Act. So that dovetails as well with the main story I'm about to cover. And then in the fourth hour today, I'm going to go back into this top story for the entire fourth hour while we're live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, I'm not going to get up here on air. I'm not going to hyperventilate. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to scream, at least till later. I'm going to try to be calm and go over this, because when I learned of this yesterday afternoon after I got off the air, all day my mind was racing, all night until about 2 a.m. I couldn't even go to sleep researching it. And the reason it's so bad is that it is exactly what I said they would do. It is exactly the way I said they would lay it out and the way they would introduce it and the way they would try to sell it. And it almost lessens the magnitude of it because we've been building up to this for years. We've been covering it ad nauseum and warning people so long that now as it's actually happening, even myself in a way is conditioned subconsciously to accept it. Now, I'm going to build the suspense deliberately so that people will pay attention. If I just come in here and cover this news like I do every day, in a way, it lessens the information. It's still effective. It's still positive to expose it. It's just not as effective if I just mix it in with all the other news. I am asking every listener right now, whether you're listening on an AM or FM station, whether you're listening on global shortwave, internet, satellite, doesn't matter, call your friends and family. If they don't have an affiliate in their area, most Americans, 75% plus, have computers and internet. Tell them to tune in right now to InfoWars.com on the audio streams or on the local AM or FM. Tell people at red lights. Tell them in stores. Go knock on your neighbor's door right now. Tell them to tune into this. We need to have the primitive mammalian response to something this serious of mobilization. Mobilize. I'm going to cover this news coming up in 10 minutes.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
In T-minus 5 minutes, I'm going to launch with our top story. And to say it's a news report really does it injustice. It's a final piece of a puzzle. It's exactly what I said they were doing. We are exactly, precisely right about the entire infrastructure of what they're setting up. We have been completely dead on from our historical research and the government documents. But the fact that they are now announcing it and pushing it exactly 100% as we said they would when they entered the final phase. This is it. Do you understand? And I'm not going to theatrically play air raid sirens in the background, but that frankly is what people should be hearing right now. But it's so serious, I'm not going to add any theatrics in a pathetic attempt to try to get you to stir towards action. But I'm telling you right now, call your friends, call your family, call your neighbors. Stop your car at the red light. Park it. Get out. Tell people to tune into the local AM or FM you're listening to. Call your neighbors, your friends, your bosses. Tell your coworkers this is too important. They need to tune in right now. On the audio streams at Infowars.com, they need to hear this information, because I'm going to calmly go over it. Then coming up, U.S. Supreme Court says passengers can be frisked. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled Monday that police officers have leeway to frisk a passenger in a car stopped for a traffic violation, even if nothing indicates the passenger has committed a crime or is about to do so. Total police state, total third world nation, absolute annihilation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. The court on Monday unanimously overruled an Arizona appeals court that threw out evidence found during such an encounter. Here's another one. PBS confirms that NSA could have prevented 9/11, as we told you 7 years ago. The people listening at the NSA, like Sybil Edmonds, heard the government planning the attacks, by the way. Turley, Obama's accessory to war crimes if no prosecution. So I've got to hand it to Keith Olbermann. We said he's worshiping Obama when Obama flip-flops and lies and commits to the globalist agenda that he was bred for, that he was raised up to fill. Will Keith Olbermann go after Obama? And he is doing that to some extent. Wonder how long he'll be on the air. I've got another report here that is amazing out of MarketWatch, the Wall Street Journal. See, everything is go date now. They're now unveiling it all because they're going with it. When they unveiled it, it's go date. This isn't the big story, but it ties in. Normally, this would be the big story of the day. How realistic is a North American currency? Question mark. Wall Street Journal. Commentary. Uniting U.S., Canada, Mexico money could result from crisis. Now, that's the Wall Street Journal. And I told you that they would announce the North American Union as the answer to the banking crisis. I told you that 13 years ago. Not because Alex Jones is smart, but because I know how to read CFR and Trilateral Commission and Club of Rome and Rand Corporation declassified and public white papers from the think tanks. That's what's so disgusting about all of this. It's all laid out in a detailed blueprint, in a roadmap. It's all going to happen. The FEMA camps, everything. And these idiots go on Infowars.com and they comment, oh, Alex has been saying North American Union for a long time. He's been saying FEMA camps for a long time. As it's materializing, and we've backed it off, we've held it back, we've slowed it down, and we've got a chance to beat it because we did analyze the enemy attack profile and because we did put out their attack profile. Imagine a watchman on a wall of a citadel, of a keep, of a fortress, of a castle, and for a week he's saying, over that hill, I just saw a huge army. And the people won't even come up to the parapet to look out 10 miles on the horizon and see the dust of the marching army. Well, now the army is battering the gate. They've got traitors inside the citadel. They're catapulting firebombs in. The country is burning down around us. And there are people more than ever attacking me. Of course, most of them are government operatives or fellow travelers. But the point is, my God, you're burning up your own house. You are so committed to your delusions that you won't listen to people that have figured it all out and who've been right every step of the way. The fall of the Republic has been carefully crafted. We are now here. We are now at the precipice, leaning out. The enemy is holding us by the scruff of our neck, about to drop us. Will we grab their hand that's holding us? Will we hold on to them at least so if they let go of us, they go over either? Or will we just sit there saying, no, we're not being held out over the edge of a cliff? Will you continue to live in denial? So how realistic is a North American currency uniting U.S., Canada, Mexico money could result from crisis? And they go on to say, from the Wall Street Journal, their Market Watch page, they go on to say that the only answer to fix the banking crisis that was engineered by the banks is a North American Union and the Amero. Ladies and gentlemen, we read about the Amero in 89 and 90 in Money Magazine and other publications. They've been proposing it and setting it up this long, and these bastards have engineered the destruction of our financial and our economic and our liberty future. And if you don't face the enemy and realize who the enemies are, it's over. So I'm going to get into that report as well today. Now, I have put out the call for every listener of this radio show. In the last 15 minutes, I've been begging you and asking you to call your friends, your family, your neighbors. We need to have a huge response to this. This needs to go ultra mega viral on the web. And what needs to go viral is the proper analysis of what has just occurred. Because the establishment is putting it out viral with their spin on it, exactly as we said they would put their spin on it. We have to counter that so the unsophisticated public has a chance to understand and see how diabolical this is. To get everybody's attention, we're going to have 20 seconds of silence right now before I go into this unbelievable report, because it is the final piece. It's like tumblers on a safe, locking in position in the door opening. This is absolute confirmation of the entire enemy attack profile. You understand? Let's have a moment of silence for the Republic. All right. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. An article by Paul Joseph Watson at PrisonPlanet.com, last night's top story. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. Now let's stop right there before I get into the article. You notice that years after, decades after the National Security Agency illegally put in snooping hubs in all telecommunication centers, where all phone calls, all emails, all faxes, all go through their system, they passed laws legalizing their criminality, giving themselves immunity. After the bankers engineer the collapse of the society so they can consolidate it, they pass a law to give themselves immunity. That was the banker bailout. They always pass the law after they've already constructed the system and beta tested it and it's ready to go or has already been operating. And it's the same thing here. Remember the Houston Chronicle in January of 2006 saying giant 1 million person FEMA camps paid for by the White House and Homeland Security for a subsidiary of Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And then, of course, there were previous camps built in the 80s under Rex 84. That was declassified in Congress. We have the congressional testimony, and people still deny it. We have the secret civilian inmate labor camp program secretly started in 86. American citizens, federal prisoners, were held in forced labor camps at U.S. military installations in secret to beta test how to keep it secret. From 86 to 97 when they declassified it. I'm going to go through the background of this and then give you the new development. What we learned from this bill, the architecture of the death camps. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. Dovetailing with two rulings in the last 2 weeks by the Supreme Court, savaging the Fourth Amendment, overturning one of the key areas of the Bill of Rights that stands against a tyrannical police state. Homeland Security, announcements of 20,000 combat troops to deal with the American people. The Army War College admitting their new mission is to fight the American people. The entire Homeland Security apparatus announcing through NORTHCOM that it is here to control a military district and an occupied nation. Their words, not mine. It's here. Now, the reason this bill is so key is that it lays out how they're going to sell Americans going into the camps and the infrastructure and architecture. It's going to be set up under the NAFTA superhighways, which will be armored grids, how they're going to lock down the cities, everything. The clergy response teams, remember 3 years ago, two different pastors broke right here on the Genesis Network, secret FEMA documents, not for disclosure, 13,000 secretly recruited preachers to give sermons telling their flock to turn in their guns, take forced inoculations, go to camps. A year and a half after we broke that story, Pastor Butch Paul and myself, with some of the pastors, by the way, Homeland Security visited them and then threatened them, even though we'd hidden their identity. It came out on the news that indeed they'd done this, and they were doubling it to 26,000 preachers. Now, it doesn't get any more hardcore tyranny than that. You know, the movie Red Dawn, fictitious Russian takeover police state. Who are they using in the little town to suppress the population? The old mayor and the major pastor. That's because they've done this all over Eastern Europe. The Germans did this all over Europe. The communist Chinese did this. This is how it's done. This is how this unfolds. And it's in the bill. It's in the bill. We have them. And it's how they're going to introduce you to the camps. I mean, you don't think they're just going to come out and say, hey, we've built death camps. This is wonderful. No, the Germans, when they put millions of people in forced labor camps, on record, would say, oh, because of the economy imploding or because local racial strife or whatever, we're going to take you to your own little fence community for your safety. Well, that's what this says. This is how they're going to roll it out. This is how they're going to do it. We told you that they would roll out putting troops on the streets to, quote, stop DWI and to help at car wrecks. And what did they come out and say? They're going to help with DWI and car wrecks. How are they going to introduce things where it sounds good? How are they going to introduce compulsory service when it's on change.gov? For basically all Americans up till about age 65? How are they going to do that? They say, oh, soup kitchens, and then they announce what the program really is. So again, they put it in an envelope of sicky sweetness, but in the middle is the tyranny. Inside the container. And that's why this legislation is so unbelievable. And it's also a very prominent key member of the New World Order in Congress that's introduced it. So understand, we have been right about everything. So I want to go over how they will get us into the camps, what the camps are going to consist of, how they're going to operate, and how they're going to sell it to the public. I'm going to cover this when we come back from break. And it is of the highest import that even if you're not listening live on the AM or FM shortwave internet satellite, that you take the free podcast, you subscribe to it at InfoWars.com. We also post an archive where you can go just grab a single one, that you get it out to everyone you know. Because I'm going to go over the background, I'm going to go over the infrastructure, I'm going to go over how they're going to sell it. We're going to cover it all here today. And the most important point here is, I have predicted in film after film after film and in radio show after radio show with guest after guest exactly how this would be sold. Because we had all these other declassified and classified and leaked parts of the program that were compartmentalized. And so I could put them together and see exactly how they would push it and how they would sell it. And that is exactly how they're now doing it. This just further confirms, as we go through time, that we're on target. We know the enemy attack profile. We know the enemy targets. We know the enemy attack profile. We understand how they're going to do it. We understand how they're going to push it. Will we be able to get the word out to the public so they understand the propaganda so they can not be controlled by it?
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Your engine is the heart of your vehicle. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to determine whether it's going to go the long run? Or should you dump your vehicle before you experience a major expense? The military has developed such a technology, and it's called oil analysis. By taking a mere 4-ounce sample during an oil change, you can get an easy-to-read, complete report by an independent laboratory covering engine wear, oil condition, and contamination. You could expect to pay hundreds of dollars or more for someone to look inside your engine. But now, for only $14.95, we will send you a test kit with easy-to-follow directions. Yes, just $14.95. Then you can speak directly with one of our experts on your engine's condition and how to make it last longer. Act now and we'll pay the shipping to you. Visit oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com or call 888-873-7371. That's 888-873-7371. 888-873-7371.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today. Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a five-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing five-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call Acola Blue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Calling all patriots, calling all patriots. This is not a drill. For those that love the Republic, the enemy is publicly unveiling their program under infrastructure protection to turn every major city into a checkpoint, face-scanned, troops-on-the-street-corner control grid with domestic spies everywhere, with millions of Americans being taken to forced labor camps. It is in the bill. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in U.S. All right, let me go through a summation of the basic facts and then go through details. A, this is not new. Quietly, since the 1970s, they have accelerated reopening the old World War II prisoner of war camps, putting in new water and power, keeping them updated and ready. Then under Rex 84, part of it was declassified in congressional hearings covered in my film Police State 2, The Takeover. But you can just Google Rex 84 FEMA camp hearings, Congress, and it'll come up from 86. In 1990, our insiders in the military told us that the base closures were going to be used for infrastructure protection to build federal control grids that will be local regional capitals over the states and the cities and counties that reside in them, threat integration centers, FEMA command centers. Years later, exactly what our inside sources told us turned out to be 100% accurate. Secretly in 86, under Rex 84, they said we have to train cadres of Army personnel that it's normal. The first conditioning is of police and military, cross-training them, militarizing them, teaching them the public's the enemy. They set up 12 secret federal prison camps in 1986. You can just Google civilian inmate labor camp program. You will be on the Army's own website. This is now declassified. And they report it like it's no big deal, where they take federal prisoners and now state prisoners. They've expanded to 24 camps and growing. Remember, with my research, it's only up to the point that I last researched it. It's such a large area to research that most of my news is about a year old because it only comes out later. Our intelligence is massive, but it's all going to be integrated through my brain, and so I'm not perfect. So it's far worse than I'm saying. That's the bottom line. So secretly, people who said they couldn't have these secretly, on record, the Army admits secretly from 86 to 97, for 11 years, the civilian inmate labor camp program, these are labor camps, was kept secret. Then in 97, they declassified it. The Army runs them under the Department of Federal Prisons. And to beta test it, what they would do is they would tell the prisoners, we'll let you out a few years early if you sign this form, it's contract, to agree to go to the camp and to be quiet and not tell family about it. That's how they beta tested and trained the troops that, oh, it's normal, the prisoners like it, we don't talk about it, it's classified, but they live here at camps, American citizens, federal prisoners. Then they began in 97 when they declassified it to bring in state prisoners. The number of camps stands at over 24. Now the reports are confirmed pouring in multiple camps in Texas, camps all over the nation being built. Again, the Houston Chronicle reported and other publications in 2006 that they're building FEMA camps for natural disasters, emergencies, terror attacks, to house illegal aliens, and during civil unrest. That was in the Houston Chronicle. All these decades, we've seen the troops secretly training with the military. We go to the events, we get detained, we get in trouble, we get chased. In some cases, they let us tape it with role players they've hired screaming, "I'm an American, please, I'm not the camp. Where'd you get the helmet? Where'd you get the gun? You know, you're going to a FEMA camp. Where are you from?" "I'm from San Francisco." The role players with the Marines, with the Army, doing this. Other cities, the Marines walk up, the Army walks up with guns, with the police, says, "Turn your cameras off," to myself and others. It's all in Road to Tyranny. It's all in Police State 2000, Police State 2, The Takeover, Police State 3, Total Enslavement. So I'm screaming bloody murder about this. I'm finding out there's this giant covert operation under continuity of government, under infrastructure protection. I find out from police chiefs, emergency managers, the SWAT team commander in Austin, Lieutenant Beck, the police chief of San Antonio. I'm giving you sources here. These are sit-down interviews on video. Ali Philippus, chief of police San Antonio, emergency manager in Kingsville, Vietnam vet himself, who was in intelligence. They came to him, said, "We're getting ready for martial law." They tried to buy him off with cash when they said no, suitcases of cash. We went to other cities, interviewed police chiefs, where they'd clearly taken the money, and they said, "We're not going to talk to you, but yes, U.S. military is here in secret operations." So I began intense research in the 1996-97 on all of this. And I start warning people, they're gearing up, they're gearing up. People say, "Well, why hasn't it happened this year? Why hasn't it happened next year?" You know, "Alex, you're saying all this is happening. You show us video, you show us documents, but where is it?" They were building the infrastructure. That's on record. They were finding out which counties, which cities, which officials would go along with them, which wouldn't, which preachers, which pastors, which mayors, which city managers could be promoted to regional government because they would play ball and go along and take the payoffs or the payoffs of advancement or suitcases and briefcases full of $100 bills. This is a NORTHCOM operation. NORTHCOM is in the military literature in 1993. It was not founded in 2002. It is the true government, the military jurisdiction over North America. They've signed deals with Canada and Mexico to use Canadian and Mexican troops here in the U.S. Toronto Star, other publications. Congress bitched last year saying we weren't even informed of this. You're supposed to inform us of this. Again, there's hundreds of points. I'm moving quick here. All of this is going on. All of this is happening. We warn the public they're training the Marines and the Army. The Navy's even creating their own private army. That's in the Navy Times. Private mercenary armies. We tell you those are being prepared. Foreign troops are being prepared. They announce in the SPP Banff Canada 2007 meeting that it's a secret operation and that it will be funded by the carbon taxes and off the NAFTA highways, and that they will use military in each other's countries in the North American system under NORTHCOM. Canadian and Mexican generals then serve and liaison with NORTHCOM. We're in the North American Union. This is seizure by foreign offshore banks. This is a corporate takeover, but they know it's illegitimate, so the people may say no to it, so they've got the military and the police state grid and the federalized local police and local state police to oppress the people when the public finally finds out they've been made destitute in the continent their forefathers conquered. Now, once they build the infrastructure, once they've beta tested the infrastructure, once they've trained the local police, the states, once they know what counties and cities are their friends, because a lot of the training is taking over U.S. cities and counties and courthouses and mock cities for the U.S. with role players as early as 1995, 96, 97, cooperative nugget with foreign troops training with role players screaming, "Don't put me in a camp." You understand? And these won't be foreign troops in foreign uniforms. These will be foreign troops in U.S. uniforms, but you notice U.S. uniforms have now been standardized to match the European uniforms. This is real. This is really happening. Now, the big issue is how will they sell the public on going along with it? Phase one, build the camps, build the FEMA infrastructure, set up the training centers, create the core cadres, find out who will work with them, expand it. Phase two, set up InfraGuard. 25,000 executives, bureaucrats, governors, city managers, county commissioners, corporate heads with sidearms, and this has come out in mainstream news, you can just Google InfraGuard, with shoot-to-kill orders on anyone they're told to kill during martial law. So you have an auxiliary of executives. In the next phase, and it's now begun, they're training their designates and quadrupling the number from 25,000 to over 100,000. That's what we know of. Armed auxiliary federal civilian forces sworn to national security in every corner of the United States. And the feds even stage little terror attacks and cover them up in the news and say the public would panic. You know, you've got to be part of this secret stuff. And the idiots, most of them, aren't evil. They go, oh, yes, the terrorists hit our power plant. We can't say anything. When it was the feds with a pipe bomb. So this is psychological warfare. How do you bring down the U.S.? Slowly. In 2006, it was 13,000. In 2007, it was 26,000 preachers. We haven't gotten any new data or declassified or secret documents. The number is unknown, but the plan said doubling exponentially every year. So we're conservatively looking over 60,000 preachers. And everybody suddenly sees their local TV preachers and radio preachers saying, you know, you don't really need guns. And when there's an emergency, you do what the government says and go to these centers for your safety. And it's of the Lord. Romans 13, do it. You're now seeing the at least 26,000 preachers do this. They're sending the police into public schools, telling the kids get ready for emergencies, teaching them how to load on buses at gunpoint with their hands behind their heads. All of this preparing everyone. All of this teaching them learned helplessness to go to the camps. Now, how are they going to sell this to the public now in the final phase? Remember, they're going to say, oh, we just built all these just now to keep you safe because the economy's imploding. Oh, my gosh, the banks have cut off of liquidity. There's this big crisis. People are starving. There's high crime. People are rioting, as all the experts are now saying they'll do. Decades of this being set up. Decades of the troops training for this. And so people are actually on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the comment section under this article going, well, stuff's breaking down. They got to do it. And I always told you that right when the banking crisis began, right when they engineered it, they would then claim a new world bank with power over the U.S., with the Congress signing over its authority to take over private industry, to take over the roads, the infrastructure, and it's now in the mainstream news and the Wall Street Journal saying, well, we need this, and we need a new currency in a North American Union. Only that will fix the banking crisis. How are they going to sell it? You're now seeing. So how are they going to sell the public? How did the Soviets, how did the Germans, how did Mao sell it when they rounded up tens of millions and took them to forced labor camps and killed millions? They would say the economy's falling apart, or the public doesn't like you, or there's been violent attacks on you, or there's been high crime. We're taking you to an emergency center. See, first they wouldn't let Jews and other people work or have businesses, and a few years later they're bankrupt. Now their houses are being foreclosed. Oh, zoning rules in Germany. You can't have too many people living in one house because you've lost your homes. We're going to send you to a place for your own safety. And a lot of people in Germany, there's a bunch of groups they went after, said, okay, I want to go to this community with a fence so you're safe. It's all in the new bill. It's all in the new bill. And it says community pastors will office and community mayors, and this is what they've already done in scores of counties and cities. They take the old National Guard armories that back up on a few hundred acres or more. They put new fences with barbed wire facing in. And they say, this is the new threat integration center. We're giving the local, you know, three cities in this area and the four counties or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's different in every area. You'll come in here. You'll have live cameras to all the federal cameras put up for traffic. Then later they tell them it's to surveil the public. See, everything is done in a stepped by step thing to condition those to acclimate the locals, to find out who'll go with them, to incrementally find out who the resistors are or who can reverse engineer what they're doing and understand it. And they tell them, this is an emergency anti-terror center and anti-crime center. And then they announce, as they first did 5 years ago in Green Bay, oh, guess what? In the new emergency center, you can type up wherever somebody's cell phone is and punch this button and track where they're at and hit this button and listen to the person's what they're saying. See, now it isn't the NSA that has the authority illegally to listen to you without a warrant. Now local counties and cities in the threat integration centers where you got the National Guard building, or a federal building they give them, or an old mall that shuts down. The feds buy it and then invite everybody in so they can be part of the petty power trip. And you've got the head preachers that lead the other preachers as Judas goats to tell the people to go to the camps. You've got the local police, the SWAT teams, all integrated, all trained. Now they federalize the National Guard, say the governors have no authority, bring them under NORTHCOM, announce they're putting troops on the streets. FEMA's done this over at one of the Austin malls. I'm having one of those senior moments. David, what's the mall off I-35 in North Austin? Your wife saw it and told you about it, and then I Googled it, and sure enough, it was there, and I went over there, and it's a FEMA center now. Well, there's Lakeline. There's Barton Creek. Highland Mall. Highland Mall is now, go over there. They're there. And they'll men in uniforms come over with guns and say, get out of here. I mean, they're there right now. And over at the old airport, they've got a hangar with bolts and chains on the floors for the American people. And admit it's for you. That's right down the road. I mean, my cousin worked in the regular Army, and for the last 5 years, he's been here in Austin out at the old Air Force base with all the underground stuff they've got there. And he won't talk about it because it's all classified, but I already know. And they're busy integrating it all. I mean, this is just all around us. And so they have these threat integration centers that are built on to 1,000 acres, 2,000 acres, 200 acres, and they have holding facilities. They have mobile jails. You can even see the federal purchase orders for hundreds of thousands of these single-person cells. People take photos of them every day on the web and go, I was at a four-way stop or a railway stop and saw all these little single-unit concrete things with a steel door and bars on them. And, yeah, you can go look at the federal purchase orders. They're putting those all over the country. Hundreds of thousands sites in Georgia, in Oklahoma, in Texas and California, in Colorado of the plastic coffins. All of it, ladies and gentlemen. And now they come out and announce, and in this one bill, you see all the major elements of it. The threat integration centers, the FEMA centers. And they say it's all for your safety in the collapsing economy. They just so happen to have built all of these. They just so happen to have had this huge infrastructure. They just so happen to be paying off politicians decades ago. And I found out from Marines and have the documents. It's in Road to Tyranny. They were kicking down doors and confiscating guns with Marines with the police in Norfolk, Virginia. Again, beta testing in small units and then expanding out till now there is a giant standing army of paramilitary police, corporate executives, regular Army, National Guard being federalized, foreign troops standing by, all happening, and they come out with a bill and announce it's for your own good, and then the people email me and say, it is for my own good, Alex. So we're going to go over the bill when we come back. I'm going to get our guest on about 15 after because I want to be able to go through all this. And then we'll get into how they're killing people in camps in Canada. Stay with us. All right, let's get right back into the bill now itself. I gave you some of the background. And the key to all of this is when they're finally getting ready to really use it is when they announce it to the public, the regular Army to be on the streets, that'll be used against the American people. The Army War College has to start training the troops that, yes, it really was always for America and the American people, but it's for your own good because the financial collapse is happening. But remember, they built all of this by design. Staged the terror attacks to build the public police state grid, the surveillance grid. Now they're wheeling it around and aiming it at the American people. And misdemeanors will get you in one of these camps for life. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the U.S. A new bill introduced in Congress authorizes the Department of Homeland Security to set up a network of FEMA camp facilities to be used to house U.S. citizens in the event of a national emergency. That's under PDD 51, including economic. I'm going to have Paul Watson do a Rosetta Stone article where he goes through all the points I'm making. It's a great article he wrote, but I want to add them all. That under PDD 51, it's economic or any other emergency. And the Congress is abolished, has no authority, the executive is in total control. That's called tyranny. The National Emergency Centers Act, or H.R. 645, mandates the establishment of national emergency centers to be located on military installations for the purpose of providing temporary housing, medical, and humanitarian assistance to individuals and families dislocated due to an emergency or major disaster. So see, it's being pitched as that. Oh, you're going to go there for your safety, but who's there? The military, the police, the preachers. And that was from the bill. The legislation also states that the camps will be used to provide centralized locations to improve the coordination, preparedness, response, and recovery efforts of government, private, and nonprofit entities and faith-based organizations. So, see, they'll have public, and they already set them up, FEMA offices. They'll set it up for a hurricane, but they never leave. And then it's, oh, we're going to do. And suddenly they just turned on all the billboards on 290 all over the country, big flashing billboards that say, we're looking for a lost child. We're looking for a lost old lady. But then suddenly they're putting up signs like, report terrorism, 1-800. Number, or report illegal guns. They're now saying that. They're now flashing that. We have photos across the country and video. See, it always starts with, oh, it's soup kitchens for forced compulsory service. You're not against soup kitchens. Oh, the Army's going to help you get out of a wrecked car. You're not against getting out of a wrecked car. Oh, we're finding Alzheimer's patients and kidnapped children. And then suddenly, and illegal guns, and terrorist, and call on your neighbors. You see how they're converting it. And the final phase is these youth brigades, these tattletale squads, this domestic security force just as big, just as strong as the U.S. military. And then Obama goes on the speech to say with forced compulsory service. And again, it isn't Obama doing it. He's just the front man. But he can sell black Americans and others on going along. He can sell Africa on accepting the new Africa Corps, U.S. military there. The legislation also states the camps will be used to provide centralized locations to improve the coordination, preparedness, response, and recovery efforts of government, private, not-for-profit entities and faith-based organizations. That's the 26,000 preachers. That's the 25,000 at least. They've been doubling it each year, but that's secret executives and key infrastructure individuals. I mean, Mike, who works here in this office, worked for LCRA in their security. And he already had a infrastructure protection badge 2 years before he even worked here. See, it's everything. Ominously, the bill also states the camps can be used to meet other appropriate needs. And if you nexus that with the John Warren Defense Authorization Act, if you nexus that with the PDD 51, the Military Commissions Act, the announcements of NORTHCOM, it's for the American people. They've said previously building the camps, it's for American citizens. As determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security, meet other appropriate needs as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. An open-ended mandate, which many fear, could mean the forced detention of American citizens in the event of widespread rioting, a national emergency, or total economic chaos, which has been engineered by the bankers. Many credible forecasters have predicted riots and rebellions in America that will dwarf those already witnessed in countries like Iceland and Greece. With active duty military personnel already being stationed inside the U.S. under NORTHCOM, partly for the purpose of crowd control in their own words, fears that Americans could be incarcerated in detention camps are all too real. But when we come back, I will give you the coup de grace, how they're going to do it, how they're going to roll it out. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. You can read the bill at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com right now. It's H.R. 645. So the way they're going to sell this is your local pastors, your local preachers, your local constabulary, your police chiefs, your mayors, saying, hey, it's no big deal. We're working with the feds at these emergency centers. Society's breaking down. If you're homeless, you go live on the camps. They'll have lots of newscasts of people living in the camps, just like the hundreds of thousands of FEMA trailers in Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and other places. And Greg Palast with ABC News, doing a story for them, he also was working for BBC, went and videotaped one, and they said, you have violated national infrastructure protection. We are charging you under the USA Patriot Act as a terrorist. They put out a warrant for his arrest. It was in the news, and the news got out, and they dropped the charges for going and showing one. Oh, it's just trailers where people live. He just showed one was by a big chemical plant and that the smoke was wafting over on them. Well, they said that was showing infrastructure. And so, see, that's how they're going to roll it out. Well, people are starving. People are rioting. You know, the bankers are trying to save us. I mean, we've built all these camps. Aren't you glad we built these camps for all these displaced people? You know, there's all these tent cities and all these people. We can't have them in tent cities. They don't have proper sanitation. They, you know, if you're homeless or you're living out of your car, and they're saying this, you've got to go to one of these centers. And we can't have crime on the camp. You watch my film, Police at 2000, they condition the Marines that the public loves the camp. So they hired hundreds of these Hollywood actors, role players, during the drill to scream, I want in the camp, I want in the camp. But then some others would be, I don't want in the camp. And then they would say, you've got to behave yourself when you're on the camp or you'll be put in the prison area of the camp. And then the men have got to be in one area, the women in the other, because you can't have like the Superdome rapes and things going on. So you're a prisoner on the camp, but it's for your own safety, and you're not allowed to leave the camp. Google, it was a bunch of stories a few years ago and still about people living on the FEMA camps around the country. They're all over the nation. Not being allowed to leave the camp. They're prisoners. And then Amnesty International and the ACLU got involved. They said, okay, you can leave. You just got to be back at 5, but you're not allowed to have your own car at the camp. So, see, we got to have order on the camp. And these Marines have all been running Abu Ghraib, you know, camps in Kosovo and everywhere else. They're used to it. They're all acclimated. They're all conditioned. And then once they open the camps, once they see people on them, remember, since 86, secretly, federal prisoners have been on these camps in the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program. Then it's like, well, what's the big deal, Alex? Where do you think these people are going to go? Society's breaking down. So, see, they create a climate where it all seems reasonable. See, they have to sell this. They want to come out and say, we're evil, we're bad, we're the bankers, we've hijacked your nation, and we're stealing everything, and we've seized your government, and we're grabbing your roads and infrastructure and parklands and companies. And then for those that aren't homeless and living in the camps, the work camps like they had in the Great Depression, but these will be prison camps, it'll be, well, and for those of you that do have jobs, you've got to also work 15 hours a week in community service to keep America going. And if you don't serve, you're part of the problem. And now, as I predicted with Obama, we're hearing that. Hey, if you get against Obama's policies, you are holding back the community. You're holding back the society. You're causing all this to happen. So they need that mass movement, that mass fascistic or slash communist Maoist movement. With the youth with little blue Obama books, mouths were red, shaking them at people. So they've got this mass movement now. Right as the crisis starts, they'll get you out of it as long as you do everything they say. Go read the bill for yourself at prisonplanet.com. New legislation authorizes FEMA camp in the U.S. Paul Watson, great writer, great job. Go over the analysis I just did in the last 50 minutes, each point I made. The key here is breaking down the fact that they're now openly announcing the camps. That means they're getting ready to move with them.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I will do a more detailed analysis of new legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States and how they're going to sell the public on it, exactly how the camps will operate, how they're going to induct the people into them, how they're going to publicly try to sell the population on going along with it. This is a maximum alert here against tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. But today's first guest dovetails with this, sadly, Reverend Kevin Annette, Kevin Daniel Annette. He's written the Hidden History, Hidden from History, the Canadian Holocaust. And you know about Native Americans in the U.S., being taken to reservations, being given smallpox blankets, being hunted down, being killed, breaking up their families, kidnapping their children if they didn't kill them, if they were lucky, I guess, sending them to boarding schools, where mysteriously most of them would end up dying. It's eugenics. And that's continued right through to today. George Bush ran the eugenics program when he was working for Nixon, and 40+% of the Native American women on reservations were sterilized when they would just go in for medical checkups. But it's also going on in Canada. So if you don't think this can go on in institutions and abuses don't go on by design, these government institutions, you got another thing coming. And infrastructure protection under the family planning, which is all eugenics, under all of this, they're carrying out these operations. So he've got him on to break down what's happening up there and how he discovered just one area, one little microcosm he was in and what he saw. Kevin, good to have you here with us.
Hi, Alex. It's good to have me be here.
Tell us about yourself and then just boil it down for people what you witnessed.
Well, when I was ordained as a United Church minister, now the United Church is the largest Protestant church in Canada. It was actually set up by the government of Canada in 1925. And with the government, they jointly ran these, I don't even like to call them residential schools. They were internment camps. We know that half the children died in them, so it's a misnomer to call them schools. But when I got ordained into the United Church, one of my first postings was out on the west coast of Vancouver Island, a place called Port Alberni, which had really been the center of the whole missionary invasion that happened there in the late 1800s. And my first week on the job, I encountered Native people who began talking to me about children, friends of theirs, who had been killed in the local Alberni residential school that was run by my church at the time, the United Church. So, in a nutshell, what I did is I began to look into that. I invited people to come into the church. I had an open pulpit policy so people could get up and talk. And we began to hear more of these stories. And when I took it to the church authorities at the time, this would have been in 1992 to 94, before any of the lawsuits had begun, the church's position was basically they're all lying, they're making it up, don't listen to them. And I was warned in no uncertain terms that, you know, I'd better stop looking into this stuff. Well, what brought things to a head was after being on the job for a couple of years, I'd swelled my congregation to about 100 people from the 20 it was when I got there. One of the things I began to find out is that there was a whole history of land theft. The churches had been, in Canada, they were given vast acreages by the government. The Crown in Canada, they claimed to own all the land. And so they parceled out native land to various churches. And these churches would then sell it off to various corporate benefactors. In this case, a big logging company, including Weyerhaeuser, the American multinational logging company. They got all of this native land through the United Church. So I found out about that, and I wrote a letter about it, and I was fired within 4 weeks of doing that, without charge, without cause or notice or anything.
And it's always the same. They say, oh, we're giving in trust all this native land to this church, which was chartered by the government. It is the government.
Yep.
So it all looks good in the press, and then as soon as people aren't looking, they hand it over to private interests, just like the phony environmental groups here in Austin stealing everybody's land, and then 2-3 years later building malls on it. So, again, this is their favorite scam. And just today I'm covering how they've got 26,000 preachers as part of a secret clergy response team, now public, who are preparing to tell the American people to go to similar camps. So they've done this over and over again. Please continue.
Well, that's the thing, Alex. That's a very important point, because in Canada especially, there is no separation of church and state. There's church and government have been working hand in glove with private interest right from the beginning. Under the guise of bringing education and you know, quote, civilization to the native people, it was a huge land theft operation. And they have their puppet chiefs in there helping them seize the land and you know, sign bogus treaties. The reality is that it's a history of genocide that's continuing. And I began to experience that in a real way in Port Alberni. I didn't close the door. I opened it up more and more to these survivors of this genocide. And when I wrote the letter about the land deal that had gone on between the United Church and a company called Macmillan Bloedel, which was bought up by Weyerhaeuser, when I exposed that corporate church connection, you know, I was shown the door very quickly. But what happened in the years following that, really the church went out of their way to try to destroy my life. They went to my wife and offered to help pay for her divorce if she would leave me, which she did, and she got custody of her two daughters. They systematically prevented me from getting work. They blocked my doctoral degree I was studying for at the University of British Columbia. because I was continuing to give a forum and a voice to survivors of the residential schools. In the year or two after I was fired, I began to get invited to gatherings in downtown Vancouver, where I'd been working for a number of years as a street minister. And people began to tell stories, survivors, of things that went way beyond the sexual and physical assault that had been reported in the media. You know, people were describing sterilization programs, having witnessed murders, pedophile networks that are still operating in the Native world involving very high-powered politicians. All of these things coming out. So we began to document this. We held a tribunal in 1998. I published two books about it, and finally our film on Repentant, which came out a couple of years ago. And it was all, you know, I'm pretty obviously in response to this, the government last year was forced to start acknowledging that children had died en masse, you know, in their tens of thousands in these schools, in these death camps, really. So it's really been a process of persistence and just allowing the survivors to continue to speak and finding the documentation which supports them. I was able to
find
that.
And we'll get into that documentation. But for those that don't know, I have a stack of mainstream Canadian papers admitting that large portions of the children just died. So it's on record now, and another testament to you over more than a decade fighting and losing almost everything you had, but in the end exposing this evil, so hopefully they can't continue carrying it out at least the level they were. And by the way, something else I didn't mention to listeners today, it's coming up later. We have been threatened by Larry Silverstein, directly by his people, to shut up. And I'm going to just say something. We're not shutting up about anything. We're committed to humanity, and I put it all in God's hands. And no matter what happens to me, no matter if people destroy me, set me up, or God forbid, a bolt of lightning strikes me, you know, I put my life in God's hands. I know you've done that, Reverend. And I just want to say, folks, we are going in against classic tyranny that is radically expanding right now. So later, I'll get more into some new developments there. So they are persecuting all of us. That's why we all need your support. But continue. Let's specifically get in to what they now admit was going on. And the same thing, again, is going on with the Aborigines in Australia, the same thing happening with the natives here in the United States. But now the systems they used on the natives are to be used against everyone. That's what the social services is. That's what this whole grid is. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I found out over the last 3 or 4 years was that it was clear that there was a whole systematic campaign to target this genocide of the children. The government acknowledged last year that the death rate was between 40 and 60% every year for up to half a century, in the first half of the 20th century. This death rate didn't decrease at all. And one of the reasons it didn't is there was a plan of germ warfare, really, where they would take children who were healthy and house them in dorms where children were dying of tuberculosis and then never treating them. The kids would be dying en masse. Now,
Just like Tuskegee.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very similar. And it was clearly a means of depopulating areas of the country that they wanted to open up to settlement, to, you know, grabbing the resources and that kind of thing. Because these native groups still occupy very lucrative resources, the timber, the fisheries, the minerals, and the water, of course. In British Columbia, it provides a quarter of all fresh water in North America. And, you know, this is clearly they're aiming for it for that reason. But what the government is saying now, they're saying, well, yeah, a lot of these children died, but it wasn't intentional. They're saying they died because of underfunding. There wasn't a malicious intent. That is totally absurd to think that a death rate can continue that long without there being an intent behind it.
And they have manuals on how to do this. When CPS is five times more dangerous than any other group, even other government custody, when they're killing children here in the U.S. or England, they say, oh, we are doing a bad job. We need more funding. Then they get more funding, and the death expands.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. You know, when you have a system of genocide, really, it's never turned off. The only reason it stopped in Nazi Germany is they were defeated in a war. But the winner, the perpetrators of this genocide are still in power. And that's
Hitler in Mein Kampf thanked the eugenicist in the U.S. and England. He learned everything from the United States and was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. That is on record mainline history.
That's right, and in fact, we found, in over the years interviewing Native kids, it's clear that in the period after the war, under Project Paperclip, they were bringing over Nazi doctors, and a number of them were working on children in the Indian hospitals. performing various experiments and operating the sterilization programs and that. So we know that there's definitely a strong...
And that's on record. The United States, Canada, and England fought, it's in my film Endgame, fought over the eugenicist scientists because they had a large pool of German scientists and doctors who would do this, and then those Nazis trained cadres of Canadian, British, and U.S. doctors to carry it out on a mass scale.
That's right. I mean, it was really the same program on both sides of the Atlantic, and one of the differences you see in the way it happened in Canada compared to the U.S. is the churches were really at the helm of this whole thing from the beginning. There's evidence that the government tried to shut down the residential schools, but time and again, the Catholic and Anglican and United Churches pressured them to keep them open right up to the 1990s.
Stay there. Let's talk about what it's metastasized into, the new crypto-eugenics, how they're running that off against free humanity. We have committed to fight the darkness. If God be with us, who can stand against us? Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we go head-to-head against the New World Order. We appreciate all of your support out there. Continue to spread the word. Reverend Kevin Annette. You know, reading what Hitler wrote, reading what Goebbels wrote, they marveled and bought all these history books about the tactics. They bought the Army War College tactics used against the Native Americans. That was their plan, to go into the rest of Europe and the world and systematically put people on reservations, then exterminate them. The model for the U.S. Camps for the Indians was taken from the British, who invented the concentration camp and used it, of course, at a great effect in the Revolutionary War, where Andrew Jackson, who then used it against Indians himself, talk about being abused and abusing others. His mother and brother died in a British concentration camp. He then used it against the natives. But the point here is Hitler used that exact program for living space. That was their operation. So eugenics grew out of that as well. It's all the same thing over and over again. We're going into the camp economy, but now the international bankers are fully colonizing the United States and bankrupting the old system to fully bring in a tyranny against everyone. So everything that's been done to the natives is now going to be done against you. Sir Continuum, let's get into some of the particular stories that you cover in your two books. Give folks your website about how they would kill these children, how they would sterilize them, what children they would decide not to kill. Was that the ones that they were using for sex slavery? It's always the same. The UN's been caught all over Africa, Asia, Latin America doing the same thing. Thousands of mainstream articles. It's a class of sickos, and they hire new people, and then as they die, they hire new people, and it's a sick culture, and they've grown this horde, this army of darkness they've got worldwide.
Well, yeah, I agree. The first of all, my website is www.hiddenfromhistory.org. And on that, it's really a lot of the documentation of the past 12 years or so. Stories, you know, that I began to hear as a minister, like one of the first things I began to hear was how children were being systematically bought and sold in these schools and how it carries on today. Because, you know, as you know, in any system of abuse, those who are abused become abusers, and it's passed down intergenerationally. We know today that Vancouver is actually one of the main centers of child prostitution and pornography in the world, along with Rotterdam, Bangkok, and places like that. There's international sex rings that operate, and a lot of the kids that are still being used are from northern native reserves.
And it's always been like that with orphanages, not just death camp orphanages, and that's what the CPS is today, grabbing children. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and these are very well-protected rings. We know that there are even Supreme Court judges in British Columbia. There's politicians, fairly wealthy bankers that are directly involved with church lawyers and others in these networks that continue. We've come very close to exposing this on occasion. People who were eyewitnesses to this have actually disappeared. There's over 500 missing Aboriginal women in Vancouver alone. A lot of the work I do is on the streets in the poorer parts of Vancouver. And these people who are living on the street, about 80% of the homeless are Aboriginal. They're all refugees from their own lands because they've been forced off their own lands by their own chiefs who sign these deals with big multinationals and terrorize their own people off their land. So when you look at the history of these chiefs that are doing that, in the residential schools, they were the young kids who would rat on their fellow students. They would inform on the kids when they're speaking their own language. And they were rewarded, culled out, if you like, and given an education and trained to serve the system. And they're still doing that today.
And that's what Barack Obama is. You know, all these poor black folks who think he's going to save them. I mean, it's the oldest trick in the book for the establishment to go hire a Judas goat, just like they would hire chiefs and people. It's the same system. It is the system of evil.
Yeah, when you find that all over the world, like the British Empire did this to my people in Ireland. It's the crown and the church working together to create a slave population. And, you know, what some of the chiefs here are now learning, like people all over the world have learned, is that the only way to fight that is to declare sovereignty from it. I mean, you folks in America had to do it against Britain. We're going to have to do the same thing here in Canada. And that's what some of the chiefs and others are beginning to do. There was a movement last
month. Well,
notice
when your parliament, yep. and continue, notice when your parliament,
yep.
Which was elected, said we're going to kick out your current prime minister, the Queen just came in and did veto and showed everybody yep. she really still runs it.
Well, it's exactly. In Australia, the same thing happened in 1975. The Governor General removed the government and put in another one. It's a colonial system, and we still live under that. It's one of the
and it's the same thing, and you continue, but we're going to come back, but I've got to nexus this in.
Yep.
3.5 months ago, Congress wouldn't pass the banker immunity takeover bill, so they were threatened with martial law, and War Powers Act was declared, Bloomberg reported. So
we're under that now, too, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's so blatant in Canada because it's run by the Crown and the Church. The churches are immune from prosecution. It's been proven that they murdered tens of thousands of children deliberately in these schools, and yet not one official has ever been brought to trial for the death of a child in a residential school. So they're immune from prosecution, and you can do that because the Crown and the Church work together. What we need to do in Canada is to replace that system. We need to establish a republic.
Yeah, they call that what, estoppel or immunity. The true criminals are in power and they have immunity. All right, let's go straight back to our guest, Reverend Kevin Annette. And you can go to his website and see all the documentation, even all the mainstream news articles going, yeah, half the kids died, 40 to 60% died, but, you know, it's no big deal. Government loves you. Pedophiles, scum, filth, just profiteers. Slavery never ended, ladies and gentlemen, and it's been in every culture until people stand up and say no, and those are little tiny pieces of history where evil isn't in total control, but evil's always clawing at the door trying to get in. And I just pray to God that people will realize how much evil is around us and that it's not just stagnant, it's growing. All right, sir, let's specifically continue with the key points of what's going on and then what it's metastasized into. We know this stuff never goes away. The government now admits, yeah, half the kids die that we have, but, you know, that's just how it is. Children will die. I even have a newscast a few months ago we played out of, Oklahoma, where the guy's just arrogantly going, children will die. Well, and they're going, but, yeah, they're dying every day in just this town alone in CPS. And he goes, they will die. That's just how it is. They will die. It's just kind of an attitude of kill them all, let God sort them out. Please continue, sir.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, if you go to my website, you'll see an interview with a woman called Irene Favel. She's 75 now, but she was a little girl in the 1940s in a Catholic residential school in Saskatchewan. She describes, and this was a CBC television broadcast last July, she said that she stood in front of a furnace and watched a newborn baby being thrown into the furnace by a priest because it was a product of rape. The priest had raped one of the young girls. They took the baby and just threw it in the furnace. And we've had dozens of people describing that kind of thing happening. So it isn't just children dying. They're being deliberately murdered. And, none of these people have ever been brought to trial. And, frankly, we think the only way they're going to be brought to trial is if Aboriginal people set up their own courts. People in Canada set up their own courts and put the government and church on trial because they're not
okay.
going to do it to themselves.
You're saying the main three branches of state-approved religion up there are involved in it. And I'm not trying to, single out one group, but I want to know who the ringleaders are. Which group is most powerful? The division you were in, or was it the Catholics? Who was it?
Well, ultimately, this whole model of the residential schools was set up by the Vatican in the 1880s. It's called the Duryea Plan to basically establish these residential schools, and the government and the Protestant churches copied it.
And that was a more modern version of what Cortez did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the buck stops with the Vatican and the Queen of England. She's the head of the Church of England. And those were the two churches that were the favored ones in Canada. The United Church was a more recent creation by the government, but it was set up clearly with the same plan. So, I mean, all three of them are equally culpable, but ultimately, you know, this is this issue has to be taken to Rome and to London, England, because that's where all of this plan originated, and it continues to be carried
over. Well, I mean, look at what the Catholic Church is today. I mean, there's some estimates that half of them are pedophiles. Mm-hmm. The priest. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Again, I have the CBC News articles. I have a big stack of articles where they admit, 40 to 60% of the children die in our custody, but we're good. I mean, imagine any other industry, any other government, imagine if citizens, half their children died. They'd be like banned parenthood, you know. But instead, the state, and I have the textbooks they teach in England, the U.S., and Canada, they teach social workers the family's a disease that has to be eradicated.
Well, you know, it's amazing it isn't amazing that they got away with this crime, because in Canada, you know, the population is taught to think of themselves as subjects of the crown, not as citizens, but as subjects who kind of operate according to the whim of you know, a few people in power. And when you're raised in that way, as slaves, basically, it's hard for people psychologically to challenge these churches and governments.
Oh, I know. I have Canadians email me when I'm reading the CBC or mainstream news saying the queen is in control. She's exercised her governorship. She has now basically overthrown the government because they didn't do what she wanted. And like you said, they did it in Australia a few decades ago. I mean, and then they have all these TV shows acting like they have no power. And then Canadians send me emails saying, you're making this up. It isn't true. We're in control of our own government. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's clearly that people here aren't in control at all. I mean, to give you an example of that, in British Columbia, the police don't have any independent power to lay charges. It's the Attorney General through the Crown Councils. They're like district attorneys up here. The Attorney General gets to decide who is charged and who isn't charged, which means the party in power, and in essence the Crown, can decide to prosecute people, can urge the police to lay off people who are their friends. I mean, it's a completely top-down system of hierarchy, and there's no real experience of democracy here in Canada.
Well, that's right.
Go ahead. You know, that's why these crimes of genocide can be gotten away with so easily.
Well, yeah, that's why you can you could have a government official pushing the plunger down to blow up the World Trade Centers, and the Attorney General is not going to indict him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, the more I uncover, it's like peeling back the onion skins. It's like each crime is even more unbelievable than the first. And to give another example, like in these Indian hospitals, they were having some of these Nazi doctors. We found documentation showing that under the MKUltra program, they were using, in the mind controlled experiments funded by the CIA, they were doing that for over 50 years here in Canada with children from orphanages, residential schools. Tens of thousands of these kids died alone.
That was Dr. Ewing Cameron ran a facility that held 4,000 people at one time, and they would CPS white kids, black kids, Native Americans, didn't matter, and ship them to Canada. And Canada, in three different major bases, was the main. And this is all declassified. It's on mainstream TV, folks. Do you understand? This is who we're dealing with. Please continue. I mean, you're not just saying Paperclip or MK Ultra. I mean, this is all real. Tell them.
Well, yeah, and there is that history that's been documented. But what people don't see is, like, there's kind of an attitude of, well, that all ended in the 80s, you know, and we're much better now. We're looking at all this stuff. But it isn't true at all. It just goes underground. It starts operating in different ways. One of the things that we found out is that a number of these hospitals are still operating, and they're still doing the same kinds of programs. In Vancouver, what the police regularly do is they go and scoop a lot of homeless people off the street, and they simply disappear. You never see them again. That's happened to a number of people I know. And we know it happens to Aboriginal women. They're targeted. One of the things we've established is that there's, the whole organ trafficking and snuff film industry utilizes a lot of Native people on the west coast of Canada. And that's where a lot of these disappeared women and children are going, you know, into that. And there's a lot of collusion, especially by the RCMP. And the police in that.
You're absolutely right, man. I tell you, it is just off the charts bad. You know, it's not a feeling of powerlessness, because I'm here on the air speaking to millions of people. You've got a radio show in Canada. You know, you've written books, and you've done some good. But imagine the good that would have been done if more people would have been as aggressive as you've been, Reverend. We wouldn't have this. And that's what philosophers and historians have said a million times in different ways. that all that evil needs to triumph and win is that good people do nothing. And yeah, I'm going to tell you, listeners. Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you know, when I did this, it was step by step. I just, it started for me by the church officials saying, look, you've got to close this food bank. Stop letting Native people speak from your pulpit. Well, there's no way I would close a food bank on 300 hungry Native families in the middle of winter. I mean, I just couldn't do that in my conscience. And once you follow your conscience and not what people are telling you to do, it leads you eventually to this. But I had to look at myself in the mirror every day, and there's no way there was the expectation that I would simply cooperate and close the door and turn a blind eye to all these crimes that were still happening. And, all my colleagues were finding the way to do that, and I simply couldn't do it. So I don't think that anyone of conscience would have acted any differently, but for some reason, in Canada especially, there's a fear of confronting these churches as if they have something to do with God, which I don't believe they do.
Absolutely. I don't even know what to say. I do my research, Reverend. All I do is research. I can't even go to sleep at night now. And I have nightmares when I am asleep because I know it's all real. I know it's happening. One example, back in 1999, we were doing a lot of local TV programs on them grabbing poor people's children. And it would be a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. And they would be poor, and they don't know when they go to, quote, get the free welfare birth at the city hospital that they take their children, especially if they're white, because they can get, like, close to $500,000 for them in adoption. I guess those children are blessed in a way. They don't get taken for medical experiments, or like the other minority kids, they hop up on drugs because they get more federal funds for that. You see, the evil's built into the system.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't go down to the hospitals when people called me, because it was always the same special units of pedophile police, you know, that look, that nelliness, that the sick smile. It's like a certain demon. I don't even know how to describe it. You know the M.O. You see a cop changing a tire. He's a tough guy, great guy, family. He's out there just doing his job. You know, most of the cops aren't bad. You see him, that's a normal guy. You can tell. You know, with these guys, if you've been around them enough, it's always the pedophile CPS, sickos. It's always the pedophile cops. It'd always be the same cops. Or they look the same. It's like they could be black or white. They have the same look, the same eyes, the same smile. They enjoy the woman screaming and begging as they take the baby. They always go in and say, sign this form and you can keep your baby. They sign the form and the form agrees to give their baby up. They would say, well, because you're poor and because your husband's an auto mechanic and you're living in a week-to-week hotel. And they're like, but my sister's coming with money. Ah. They're like, no, you're poor, so the child's at risk. We're taking it. And then you go to the court case, and the CPS is so lazy. It's a newborn baby. This is one case. They took a case of a three-year-old child who had been abused by someone under another name and just copied the text and changed their name at the top with different circumstances. And the judge just didn't care and took the child. The family wasn't, didn't know how to fight it. They'd waived. But they don't even fill out the forms right. There isn't even any due process. And they enjoy, as the mother has her soul being torn out, they enjoy the howling. And there I am, like a literal fiery laser beam burning out my soul in just anguish and torment, watching her torment. And I'm literally about to hit my knees, but I'm not crying. And I'm knowing that if I assault these people, I'm going to go to prison. They're going to have their way with me. And I'm sitting there watching them feed like demonic entities as the baby's being taken and how they're smiling. I mean, damn them to hell.
I know. I see this all the time, too. And it's like it's a sickness that's spreading, and we have to somehow find a way to encourage people of goodwill to confront that. And that's a big job, just getting people to find the courage and to do that.
But how do you do it? I can't do it anymore. I can cover it on the air.
Yeah.
I can barely have these women and men on just hearing it because the flashbacks. How do people like you constantly live in this and watch them ripping the innocent apart? How do you watch the murders? How do you watch them hurting children?
Well,
do you do it?
You find other people who are willing to speak out and fight back. And, a lot of the people I work with, they're homeless Native men and women. They may have nothing, but they have the integrity to get up, and we stand outside these churches and we confront these people going in and saying, look, you gotta, take a stand here, and their courage helps me, and my courage helps them. You know, we do this together. We don't do it on our own.
So it is the brotherhood, the sisterhood.
Definitely. And I find that all the time. I'm encouraged by them all the time. I find the strength at the roots. I don't find it, it's not going to come from the government or anybody.
No, power is weak. Evil power is weak. These are very, they're sick.
Yep. You know, I've seen how people heal from this, too. Like, one of the guys I work with, he's a severe alcoholic because he was tortured on a rack. They had, in this Catholic residential school, they had actually a rack set up where they would torture kids. And he's never been able to talk about it. But one day, last Easter, actually, we went into a Catholic mass and just stood there very quietly and nonviolently with a banner. And it said, all the children need a proper burial. And we walked out of there, and the whole congregation stood up in respect as we walked out because they were acknowledging. I mean, the priests were very angry at us, but they were all welcoming us. When we got out of that church, William, this man who had gone through the school, there was a light in his eye I had never seen before, and the next day he stopped drinking for the first time in 18 years, because he felt the power. He was able to find his voice and act and confront these guys, and that was his healing. And, that's the way we do it. We do it publicly, and we do it together. Otherwise, they thrive off the fact that we feel isolated, demoralized, and alone, but we have to break through that all the time. And knowledge is power, You arm people with knowledge, and you just be out there where they're suffering, and you carry it on. I mean, we do that together.
Absolutely. I mean, for people who haven't seen this, it's just unspeakable.
Mm-hmm.
And society's imploding because all this evil's in control, and then so there is bad stuff happening in families. There are bad people individually doing things as well. And the establishment publicizes all of that to make the people look bad but make the system look good. But from what you're saying, it looks like you've had some progress. I mean, it's been in the news that admitting this is going on. What has it turned into? What are they currently doing? How have they tried to camouflage it?
Well, they're spinning it. They're taking a lot of the information I have and spinning it to make it look like they knew all this along, and they're disclosing it now, and they're admitting it.
And they need more funding.
Yeah, and they're saying basically we've given apologies and some financial compensation. Now the issue is resolved. With the apology, the issue is resolved, which is ridiculous because on the street, people are suffering more. They're dying at a higher rate from this. They get a bit of money in compensation, and people go in and overdose on drugs with that money, and that's intentional. So the government and the churches are making it look like, it's amazing what they've done. They've committed the crime, they've gotten away with it, and now they're trying to make themselves look good in the process. And they're not, they're not disclosing anything. So it's almost like they're saying there was a big crime, but there are no criminals. So we've been pushing for years to get them to admit where these children are buried. We've been trying to bring the children's remains home for a proper burial, having memorial sites, and bringing people to trial for these crimes. So that's really what we're pushing. And the very fact that the Prime Minister would be forced to acknowledge this in Parliament, and party leaders were actually getting up and talking about these grave sites, I mean, that's an amazing accomplishment.
And by the way, every few weeks I see a new article out of Florida or Texas or New York where they go into orphanages and dig up a bunch of dead bodies. I mean, this is a guild. This is a Satan worshiping, whatever you want to call it. Even if they don't physically worship Satan, that's what the vibe is, the spirit is, who want to feed on innocence. And it's 180 degrees from who I am. I don't even claim to be the best person in the world. But the point is, I've got this. I love children. I love their innocence. I want to protect them. How could you want to hurt a child? I just want to kill these people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like both extremes are happening at the same time, Alex. The exposure is happening. People are more aware now. And that evil is trying to entrench itself all the more. And the reality is these institutions have their backs against the wall now. They've admitted it. They're trying to spin it. But it's not going to work because more and more people are coming forward now with the truth. And I'm actually very encouraged by what's happening, the power of just telling the truth. I just want to remind people again to go to our site and look at our film. It's www.hiddenfromhistory.org, and spread that around. I'm actually planning to come down to the United States in February and March on a speaking tour, and it would be a good way to connect and carry this on, because I know that there's going to be even better changes happening.
Absolutely. Well, it's hard for me, and I'm sorry I've been whining just to even focus in on this, because but your strength, I can feel your strength, and I agree with you. It is the fact that you're fighting evil, you're having an effect, and there is this brotherhood, this sisterhood, and resistance to it. Stay there, my friend. I want to come back and let you get to any other points you want, and I want to have you back up for a second, longer interview to take phone calls in the near future. We'll be right back with Reverend Kevin Annette. I'm going to break down one of the most important stories we've ever posted at PrisonPlanet.com. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the U.S. Why is this story so important? You say, well, Alex, we already know that. They lay out the architecture of them, how it's going to work, how they're going to sell the public on it. Exactly as I said they would do. And that's what the problem. It just confirms my analysis is absolutely on this issue, 100% on all the way. Reverend Kevin Annette is our guest. Check out his website. Check out the film they made. He's got links to newscast admitting that he was right. Remember, this guy, a decade before they admitted it was true, was out there fighting. But the evil goes on, but now they're there confronting him and letting these wicked devils know that the people are on to their crimes. So they're trying to bring in a world government so that they can carry out all their mass murder and torture of children, and no one can stop them. Well, we are going to stop them. Okay, sir, you got about 3-4 minutes left. Other key points you think we need to add here?
Well, I just think it's important to especially people in the States, to know that this is escalating, this whole campaign, because recently a number of the chiefs, including Chief Capilano, who's a West Coast Squamish Native chief, has told these churches to get off his land. He's told the Catholic, Anglican, United churches that they occupied his land illegally. They've never paid him any rent for 150 years, so it's time they left. We issued eviction notices to these churches, and in response, a lot of persecution began to come down. I kind of joke with people sometimes, I'm going to have to seek political asylum in the U.S. because it's increasingly harder to operate here. But one of the what we've done, we've thrown down the gauntlet. We've said it's time to declare sovereignty from the crown and the churches, take back our land. Native and non-Native people have to form an alliance in doing that to stop everything that you're talking about the New World Order and the growing global dictatorship. The way we do that is by taking back what is dear to us, and that's our own land. It's striking a chord in me because my own ancestors suffered this in the old country. That's why we came over here. And in order to kind of turn back the whole history of genocide, we have to say now, what can we do on this continent to create a new arrangement, you know? And so this is what we're trying to do now. We've issued the eviction notices. We've declared sovereignty. And we're trying to build a movement for a republic of Ganata or Kanata, which was the original name of Canada, the Mohawk word meaning our village. And as part of that, I'm going on a speaking tour to try to raise awareness not only of the genocide of the past, but how it's continuing today and how we're trying to win back sovereignty and challenge these criminals, you know, setting up our own courts to do it with.
Now, as the natives say, get off our land. We don't want your eugenics operation here masquerading as a church. Let me guess, the churches are still sitting there.
That's right, but the chief actually went into the Supreme Court and got a formal eviction notice. We've issued this, and we've actually tried to deputize the police to get them to enforce the eviction. And there's this growing moral pressure. Every time we go outside a church, there's a whole phalanx of police there to protect the church. But the other day we were speaking to the police, and they wouldn't look her in our eyes. They were looking down in a way they knew we were on the right. And you can see that we're winning the moral victory here. And that the church is hiding behind a lot of power and money, as they always do, but it's breaking down. You can see a spiritual battle going on, if you like, over the truth. And so we're really encouraged by this, and I just wanted to give people my personal email for them to contact me if they want to help us with this. It's hiddenfromhistory@yahoo.ca, and I'm planning to be down in the States in March.
And look what you've done by yourself, joining with the Native peoples. It's just another example of what we can all do. And so many of you are those leaders we need, men, women, black, white, old, young. It doesn't matter, who need to just start the fight for liberty and freedom and against all these crimes. And then dividends will be paid in freedom, in humanity, in decency, in honor. And so I just salute what you're doing. And it's up to good Christians who aren't, you know, this wicked counterfeit New World Order Christianity, to realize that most of the powerful churches, if not all, are bought and paid for by the New World Order. That's why they're in those positions. I commend your courage. I commend your work, Reverend Kevin Annette, and we'll talk to you again in the near future.
Thank you, Alex.
You bet. Take care. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We just had a guest on covering the Canadian genocide through the government and church schools of the natives. On average, depending on what reservation, 40 to 60% of the children being murdered. And after 12 years of fighting, it's now become mainstream news in Canada thanks to this reverend. God bless him. And the next guest is dealing with that story we covered last week, dealing with the Los Angeles Times, with if you raise your voice to a flight attendant, you get charged as a terrorist. Now, you can argue, go ahead and charge people with a big crime for arguing with a godlike stewardess, flight attendant, get arrested for political incorrectness right there. But what you can't argue with is the fact that they're charging them under a terror charge so they don't get due process. So we'll be talking to a guest about that for about 25 minutes when we get back in the next segment. And then for the balance of the show, I'm going to cover the Wall Street Journal coming out and proposing a North American Union and an Amero currency is the way to save us from the economic collapse. And what did the SPP group say from that Banff, Canada, September 23rd, 24th, 2007 meeting? What did they say? They said that they were going to use a financial crisis and that out of a financial crisis they would get their North American Union. And what are they doing now? It's disgusting. And the big news of the day that I spent the first hour on, I am going to detail and then take your phone calls because I haven't even gone over the tip of the iceberg on this, as they say. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the U.S. The issue isn't that they're just now, they've already built the camps. That's admitted as well. It's that the legislation unveils the camp structure and how you're going to be living if you're living at all. And now they're going to take over your local communities and federalize everything. This is one of the most important stories we've ever put out. And it's up on prisonplanet.com right now. So I'm asking listeners to go there and get the story. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. There's another story they've got up there. School children complain of Obama worship during lessons, the federal curricula. Now they're giving them the messianic leader. God help us. Unbelievable that this is going on. But if you go to prisonplanet.com or infowars.com, in fact, they're posting so much news, it's already rolled off the main page of prisonplanet.com. I guess you go to infowars.com. Let's see if it's still on the main page. We need to have this up there at the top. And like I told Paul Watson earlier, his article's great, but we need to do another kind of Rosetta Stone one that goes through all of the facets. And how the big issue here is this gives us the architecture of the maintenance and control and operation of these facilities. And they got the Supreme Court ruling again. 2 weeks ago they ruled against the Fourth Amendment. They just ruled again, just saying you're all guilty until proven innocent. It is absolutely unbelievable. Yes, it is up on Infowars.com on the main page. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps. It's in the featured news stories, third story down. And criminals are going to give us no quarter. They're not going to back off until we stand up to them. Nothing's going to get better until we say no. All right. We're going to come back with our guest, get into how the fact that under the Patriot Act we're all terrorists. That's how they'll put you in the camp. They've tried to pass state versions of it where they say downloading music, you get life in prison.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is the 28th day of January 2009. We've been live here for the last 2 hours and 8 minutes. We've now gone live, simulcasting the radio show at prisonplanet.tv. Thank you for joining us. I saw this story in the Los Angeles Times last week about in-flight confrontations lead to charges defined as terrorism. And in here it says that raising your voice, not even cussing, has resulted in charges. And I've got a quote here. We've gone completely berserk on this issue, said Charles Slepian, a New York security consultant. These are not threats to national security or threats to aircraft, but we use that as an excuse. Why would the predatory system, the airlines, and the feds want to do this? So we're going to talk about that with him in just a moment. This just came in. We just linked this during the break at Infowars.com. It's ABC News. We're going to cover this as soon as we finish up with the fact that talking back ends up with terror charges. Exclusive CIA station chief in Algeria accused of rapes. Funny, last hour we talked about the UN and all the rape rooms and how it's like some type of guild. Ugly American spy boss allegedly drugged Muslim women, made secret sex videos that have now come out. Or did this guy do something the CIA didn't like, and are they setting him up? I see these things every day, but this is just the latest, and we'll be getting into that. And this other article here, new legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States, H.R. 645. So we'll get into that happy stuff for you as well. Everything's wonderful here. I appreciate Charles Slepian coming on with us. He's a prestigious security risk manager and a consultant from the largest firms out there in the world. And we appreciate him coming on. Sir, you've got a long bio. How would you best describe yourself?
Well, I'm a security practitioner and a practicing attorney, and I focus on questions of foreseeable risk of crime. Would be the short way to get to the point.
Give us your breakdown on more than just the one line the LA Times put in here on what's happening to people who cuss or even talk back or yell at flight attendants.
I think what's happening is that flight crews are escalating situations to the point where they have to justify it by asking for an arrest, and they rely back on interference with flight crew members or flight attendants, which is in the U.S. code, incorporated into all of the terrorism statutes in general. And what it says really is interferes with the performance of that flight crew member or duties and lessens the ability of the crew member to perform his or her duties is punishable under this section. If the flight attendant gets to the point of frustration and says, look, I'm not able to carry out my duties, whether they be to advise people to put on a seatbelt or serve the next drink, that frustration rises to the level where a claim is made that there is a violation of the U.S. code. And when the plane lands, the individual so charged is generally arrested, generally not by federal agents, but by local agents. It's passed over to local agents, and in more cases than not, it's adjudicated down to a warning. We have some instances, however, where both sides dig their heels in, and then you get the kind of prosecutions that appeared in the L.A. Times, for instance. Where
what type of sentences are people getting for talking back?
Well, sometimes they get time in jail. I mean, the woman involved in the situation where she was reprimanding her children, or maybe more than reprimanding her children, she ended up with a 3-month sentence. Other individuals have less time. Some people have no time and are subjected to fines. Some people are barred from flying for a period of time. It varies on the jurisdiction in which that sentence is being imposed.
How long are the sentences? I mean, how long could the sentences be? What's
up
the potential?
20 years.
20 years.
20 years, yes, for interference with a flight crew. The maximum sentence is 20 years in prison. And so what we have here is a situation which has not been clearly defined. And depending on who it comes before, the outcome can be draconian, which is the case when somebody is sentenced to jail time because they try to discipline their children, where most of the other passengers on the airplane would probably applaud the person who's trying to discipline the children if the children are acting in an outrageous fashion. So it's an exchange of words, It's alleged here that she dropped a can of tomato juice on the ground deliberately, and that escalated to the point where, when the plane landed, she was arrested. What we ought to be looking at is the Aviation and Transportation Security Act, which initially established not only the series of offenses that were created by the TSA, but also required that certain things be done to prevent them from occurring in the first place. And one of those things is that all flight crews were to receive security training, one kind or another, including de-escalation training, including the kinds of training which stops these things from getting out of hand. You know, there's nothing new about disruptive passengers on airplanes. They existed long before 9/11 without the same kind of draconian punishment that we have today. It's just taken out of context. You know, sometimes that bad behavior is a result of serving them too much alcohol, and that ought to be cut back on. Sometimes it's a result of allowing conduct on board the plane to reach a level where it starts to become offensive to everybody else. And there is another example in the article that you referred to of just that happening.
Well, let's get into that other example in a moment, Mr. Slepian, but I wanted to, you know, you mentioned the flight attendants escalating, and I'm a real friendly, nice person, and I fly, you know, quite a bit, probably more than most, and I have learned to hardly even talk to them. I mean, you'll see the flight attendants that have got a good attitude, they're happy, or they're just mechanical, that's fine. But I've seen people ask for a pillow, they yell at them. I've seen, you know, when the plane has been off the ground for 30 minutes, somebody gets up to go to the bathroom, they scream at them. It's like they're on a power trip with this new found power, and it's like you're a prisoner or something. And I think in a lot of cases I've read about, that's actually escalating it. They even put a fictitious example of that in the film Anger Management, where the guy does nothing and they, you know, the air marshal tasers him. So it seems like they're also part of the problem.
Well, they are indeed part of the problem. And another part of the problem is the pressures of flying today are greater than they ever have been in the past. You have very crowded aircraft, despite the economic times that we're in. We are having bigger and faster airplanes, so trips are shorter. But people are still spending 2 and 3 hours on the ground before they take off. We have regulations which allow passengers to sit on the tarmac for up to 4 hours before they can get a drink of water. Can't get out of their seats. So all of these things come together, and the pressures are then brought to bear on the flight attendants, who after a while retaliate. You know, you and I will get on a plane, we'll complete our trip. We may have a bad experience, but more often than not, we will forget about it. The flight attendant may have a series of bad trips in the same day, involving delays on the ground and unhappy passengers and air conditioning that goes out and misassigned seats and overbooked aircraft. So there's tension everywhere. And unless we begin to train in de-escalation and take these things into consideration before we invoke things like the Patriot Act as a remedy for this, we're going to have total chaos on airplanes.
Well, I mean, how are they doing this? They claim the Patriot Act was for terrorists and separately from airplanes or transportation. I'm sure you're a lawyer. You've seen the articles where, you know, this state or that state, the headline's always the same. You know, Patriot Act used in thousands of non-terror-related drug cases or family violence. I mean, they're using it all over the place now.
Because the Act does not require that you prove an intent to commit what we would understand as an act of terrorism. It's been allowed to be interpreted by a variety of prosecutors on various levels, from local levels to federal levels. It's been allowed to be taken out of context. The intent was to stop, particularly with regard to air travel, to stop hijacking. Well, we pretty much stopped hijacking when we reinforced cockpit doors and imposed certain regulations with regard to keeping them closed. So we're dealing with a different problem than the one that was in play at the time that the law was passed.
Well, why not just armed pilots?
Well, we've done that, too. We have armed pilots.
They're going to jump through a million hoops, though.
Well, that's true. But the flip side of that is that the fear that the pilot will become so frustrated in the same manner that the flight attendant is frustrated, then use a gun in a situation with it, which is unauthorized, and then they worry about the civil liability.
But we're trusting them with a giant airplane. I mean, and thousands of switches. These are the most, you know, on average controlled, most of them foreign military pilots. If we're not going to trust a airline pilot with a gun, they shouldn't be trusted with a plane.
Well, I agree with you. But the fact of the matter is that from the legal side of this issue, the pilot is prepared to deal with all manner of threat when it comes to maneuvering the airplane, but does not have the experience to handle a gun on board an airplane.
Ridiculous.
It's just as simple as that. And because of the fear of civil liability, the airlines are strongly opposed to their pilots carrying guns. Now, if they keep the cockpit door closed so that nobody can hijack the plane, there is the fear if the pilot has the gun, he will use that gun to interfere in a situation in the back of the plane, which was established merely to have the door opened so that we face the same kind of problem again when it comes to air piracy.
Okay, we're going to go to break, sir, and come back with one more little quick segment. You were trying to tell the story of another case in the article of what's happening with the Patriot Act. Earlier, I interrupted you when you were getting into another point you wanted to make about the LA Times article, sir?
Well, absolutely. And that was a situation where you had a couple on a plane, and they were accused of becoming too amorous. The gentleman put his head in the lap of the lady he was flying with. He alleges he just was not feeling well and put his head down. Flight attendant came by and objected to what it looked like to her. They then entered into an argument with the flight attendant, which resulted in an arrest of both parties.
Stay there. Let's hear about the rest of it when we come back. All right, we've got 5 minutes left with Mr. Schlepian, so we're going to go right back to him, security consultant. And Mr. Schlepian, we've got up on screen the name of your firm. Do you think it's good to give out your website?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Tell us your website address, sir. Tell the listeners.
www.frac.com. That's frac.com for Foreseeable Risk Analysis Center.
Yeah, we've got that up on screen right now, a shot of your website. Okay, finish the story. So he's got his head in the woman's lap, and what happens next?
And the woman is smiling. And the flight attendant made an assumption as to what was going on between the two passengers, instructed the gentleman to sit up, and then they engaged in an argument as to what was going on, and the flight attendant became more incensed and more offended. When the plane landed, they were arrested for lewd and lascivious conduct on board an airplane. Now, how does that get into the Patriot Act? Well, under the law, it says anything that interferes with the performance of the crew member's duties can be charged as interference with flight crew members or flight attendants under 49 U.S. Code. So it's taken out of context, and the argument is made, and somebody wanted to go along and prosecute that case. In fact, one of them had the charges dropped. The other one, who had never been arrested before, received a 30-day suspended sentence, but now has a sentence. The whole thing just taken out of context.
I've seen so many cases of the Patriot Act being used by states in non-terror related cases, and I believe from memory, but correct me if I'm wrong, I know you've scanned a lot of the cases as a lawyer that works on this. Are police now not trying to, not just on aircraft, but claim you interfere with the police duties, and are they trying to use terrorism charges there as well?
Absolutely. It is covered by the Patriot Act. Interference with a police officer, interference with a bus driver, because it covers all transportation, for instance. So when you are interfering nowadays with an individual who is performing a public function, you run the risk of being brought up on charges related to the Patriot Act. Again, that's not why the law was passed. That was not the intent of the law, but the way it is written, it allows anybody who wants to piggyback on to do so, and they're doing so. The way to stop it is for prosecutors to stop prosecuting cases of this kind, for the public to become so incensed that nobody dare go near them in situations like this unless they can articulate a real terrorist threat.
Well, Well, sir, I would say, you know, let's go repeal these sections of the Patriot Act, but I'm scared to do that because they'd probably add more on. And I know that the Clinton administration wrote up most of the Patriot Act and couldn't get it passed. So this is, you're saying they're misusing it, but I believe clearly, and a lot of other legal scholars believe that we've had on, that they intended this all along to basically abolish the Constitution, Bill of Rights. I mean, I have the Boston Globe today saying U.S. Supreme Court says passenger can be frisked with no probable cause. I mean, they're saying no probable cause now. They're saying now that with the exclusionary rule that in the case 2 weeks ago, the Supreme Court ruled that they can basically go in with wrong search warrants or make things up and it's still admissible. I mean, when is this going to end?
Well, it's going to end when the public has had enough of it. But until there is a wide-based outcry, we're going to continue with it. Now, remember, an airport is a border. And so your normal constitutional protections are waived at the border. And they can indeed search you without probable cause. They can randomly search you in an airport. And it's happening all of the time. And you agree to that by virtue of the fact that you buy a ticket to fly, which, once again, is not a right. It's privilege.
Yeah,
and
you agree to the conditions. But this court case wasn't at a border. I mean, this is just the police pull you over and say there's no Fourth Amendment anymore.
Well, as far as I know, that's not upheld once it gets into a courtroom. I mean, we still have a Fourth Amendment.
No. Here's the Boston Globe today. U.S. Supreme Court says passenger can be frisked. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that police officers have leeway to frisk a passenger in a car stopped in a traffic violation if nothing indicates a passenger that committed the crime or is about to do so. The court on Monday unanimously overruled an Arizona appeals court that threw out evidence found during such an encounter. The case involved 2002 pat-down search of an Elroy, Arizona man by Oro Valley police officer who found a gun and marijuana. The justice accepted Arizona's argument that traffic stops are inherently dangerous for police. Right there.
Okay, but the stop itself was lawful. In other words, what they did here was they frisked the passenger in the vehicle, but they did have the right to stop the vehicle. So I misunderstood what you were setting forth. If they do have the right to stop the vehicle, they don't necessarily have the right or did not have the right to frisk the passenger inside the car, although anybody inside of a vehicle, for instance, is responsible for everything in that vehicle.
But, sir, was it a privilege to ride a horse down the road? I mean, when they brought in cars, you know, they started taxes on trucks, saying they were messing up the roads, made them get licenses, then the people did. Well, I have the court rulings, and I'm sure you've seen them, that prior to those rulings in the 20s, it was not a privilege to travel.
Because we're giving up our rights in return for what we consider to be some kind of benefit. Some kind of a convenience, and it's a mistake. I'm not opposed to what you're saying.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Sir, it was great having you on. Thank you for standing up for the Bill of Rights.
Sure.
Take care.
Anytime. Thank you.
God bless. Take care. We'll be right back with more news on the FEMA camps and the CIA rape rooms. States are now claiming owning guns is a privilege. It's not a privilege. Traveling isn't a privilege. I've read the court cases. You heard that lawyer have to admit it at the end there. None of this is freedom. None of this is liberty. None of this is for your security. It's all done to secure the criminals. That's what the New World Order is. It's a playland for the evil. It's a system where the wicked control everything. And for humanity, for our brotherly and sisterly love, we have to commit ourselves to fight it. Brotherly love, the sisterly love, I feel this. All right, we have an hour and 26 minutes left in worldwide transmission today. Open the phones up in the next hours. We'll go ahead and do that now, specifically on any of the news items I've covered today. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. And we'll get you up and on the air. Do you see this article? New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. This is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now by Paul Watson. And you're like, Alex, you've shown us video of FEMA camps. You've been to FEMA camps. You've covered FEMA camps. The mainstream papers admit they've built FEMA camps. Why is this article so important? Why is this new piece of legislation so important, H.R. 645? Well, I went through a lot of that in the first hour today, but I want to go back over the main points and some other points I didn't flesh out entirely. And again, I'm going to have Paul Watson go over every point I made, every point he's made, and then put a link to all the stories, bills, legislation, the backup on all of that. And on screen, we've got some of the FEMA camps that they've built, the barbed wire facing in for you. An old military bases predominantly. Now they're moving city, county governments into those as the true seats of governments. And this is total federalization, absolute, total and complete tyranny. So we will go over that report. The importance of it is just completely off the charts. But I wanted to, before I did that, get into a story out of the Wall Street Journal Market Watch today. Because normally this would be our top story. It's just dwarfed by the other one for all the reasons stated here. It is not just that the Wall Street Journal and every other major publication is saying world government's here. They're saying exactly what we told you they'd say, that it's here to save you, that it's going to fix the financial crises, that it's the only answer that will get our economy going again. That's the entire mindset and the modus operandi of the global controllers. They stage terror attacks to get you to give up your liberties, or to get you to stand down while they take over your liberties, while you're dumbfounded. They stage environmental crises to offer more control. They stage economic collapses to bring in the next phase of their agenda. And they said in the SPP documents that Judicial Watch sued and got in late 2007 in September. And they said, we will sell the North American Union, the Amero, the SPP, through crises. And Robert Pastor, one of the front men, one of the professors that, you know, was kind of their front man of, quote, thinking up the idea, that was in the New York Times in the 30s, and the Global has been pushing for it for decades before Robert Pastor got out of diapers. And he said, out of the threat of terrorism, out of the economic collapse, out of security threats, we will build the North American Union. And then they will propose a common border with the three nations, the United States, Canada, and Mexico. So here is Market Watch, a publication of the Wall Street Journal today. It's a link up on Infowars.com. I'm showing people the article, the printed copy, at PrisonPlanet.tv. How realistic is a North American currency using U.S., Canada, Mexico money could result from crisis? They have to destroy the dollar to bring in the new world order. The banks engineer the crisis, steal tens of trillions, won't say where it went, and now we hear Obama diverting people with his $1 trillion stimulus package that's just pork barrel and government and CPS funding and police funding and further federalization funding, and that debate's going on today. But that's a trillion compared to the 8.5 trillion stolen that we know of by the banks, who won't say where it all went. And how they phrase all of this is, well, now we've got to have an international body that sets currencies worldwide. So still have a dollar, still have a loonie, still have a pound, still have a euro, but they'll all be set and pegged and controlled. They say maybe at the same level, maybe sometimes they'll say this is worth more, this is worth less. This is the same private banks that are going to run this world government that they've already set up. They're now taking the curtain off, kind of like in a showroom at a car show where they pull the the velvet sheet off the new car and woo, everybody looks at it. They're now unveiling it, just like they're unveiling the camps. That means they've gotten up to the point of being ready to use them. And so the very banks that manipulate currencies, that make some cases billions and billions of dollars per nation today with insider trading, now they're going to be setting the currencies, knowing where they're going to go, and then controlling the currency manipulation market openly. And you'll pay your carbon taxes to them. And I know most of you as an audience know that, but the general public has no idea. And so there wouldn't be any political resistance to this. They said there's no North American Union, there's no NAFTA superhighways, there's no North American Union corridors. Didn't matter how many government maps or documents or C-SPAN hearings they had on it admitting it, they would say it doesn't exist, doesn't exist. So when they finally unveil it to everybody, people don't feel like it's kosher to talk about it. And you'll be talking to people and they go, yeah, I know they're setting it up, but people think you're a kook if you talk about it. So see, they say it doesn't exist first, then they unveil it. That's a psych warfare tactic. Just like in the mid-90s, people told me about black helicopters and black helicopters crashing and urban warfare drills. And I'd laugh at them on air. And then in 2006, somebody mailed me a Soldier of Fortune. And it talked about Delta Force doing drills of taking over Houston, crashing a helicopter, people dying. And then I started talking to police chiefs and sheriffs and others about the payoffs and the covert military takeover of the United States and found it was true. But I remember in 93, 94, 95, they would have ads on TV for products. And they would just go, oh, you crazy black helicopter people. They would just throw that into movies and sitcoms. Before they started the urban warfare drills, they would condition people that it didn't exist. You know, you'd hear a radio ad. I remember when Dish Network or DirecTV first came out, like in 95. Hey, look, there's space aliens washing their cars on Mars and black helicopters, mixing something that didn't exist, space aliens washing cars on Mars, with black helicopters. And you hear all this nonsensical conditioning, and you know, in movies, I bet you're one of them crazy black helicopter people. And nobody was talking about it. And we're like, what is this? And then the drills started. And it was like, no, I live here in this town, Alex. You got to come down here. They blew up a building and were telling people to stay in their houses. And sure enough, so they'd mail me the local newspaper and I'd go on air and read it. And people calling going, you nut, you crazy person. That doesn't exist. That was a basic psychological warfare operation. This doesn't exist. You're kooks if you talk about it. Then they unleash it. And they did that with FEMA camps. And now they're unveiling it. But see, you're not supposed to talk about it because you're kooks. But now they're saying they built it for your own good. And people go, well, I mean, I've seen police in Austin in a warrantless checkpoint searching people. And you walk up and they go, oh, Jones, is Big Brother going to get me? It's a police state. And I'm like, yeah, this is a police state right here. So even as they're doing it, it doesn't exist. You understand that mind control, guys? You get what I'm saying in there? You digging me, as they say? You dig it? How realistic is North American currency? Uniting U.S., Canada, Mexico would result, could result from crisis. Todd Harrison. World, hold on. Instead of messing with our future, open up inside. Bob Sinclair. Thomas Jefferson once said, when you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. As the global financial system pushes on a string, investors are desperately trying to hold on tight. The New World Order is upon us, full of hope, promise, and a fair amount of fear. Oh, the New World Order. I mean, folks, I've got every day I see 10, 15, 20 articles for the New World Order, and I'm not looking for them. Here's the International Herald Tribune, the chance for a New World Order. Henry Kissinger's not just on TV saying it every day and saying Obama will bring in the New World Order. Here is Kissinger writing an op-ed piece that was in hundreds of newspapers. The Chance for a New World Order by Henry Kissinger. And remember him about 2 years ago on Charlie Rose? I have a clip of it in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The true Rosetta Stone film that shows you the big picture in detail, covers it all. He said, we've got a first real chance at a new world order. There will soon be a crisis, and then we'll have our first real chance. And Rockefeller, all we need is the right global crisis, and the citizens of the world will accept their world government. So understand, I mean, not so much anymore, but I walk around the halls of a local media conglomerate, Emmis, and now everybody's, hi, Alex, you're right about everything, but boy, my gosh, what's going to happen next? But just a few years ago, it'd be like, you know, walking through the halls, oh, it's Mr. Black Helicopter. And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, I've been to all these urban warfare drill takeovers and that they terrorize nursing homes and things. I mean, I'm just, you know, facts. Now, though, they've lost their 401k or are losing it. Now, you know, now people on the street that were laughing, I mean, it's not funny anymore. Thomas Jefferson once said, when you reach the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. So, see, he's saying, this is going to fix it. You know, we got to do something. We just got this idea. It's called a new world order, and these foreign banks will run our currencies, and we'll have Northcom on the streets. And he goes on, the new world order is upon us, full of hope. See, everything's real bad, but Obama's hope and the new world order's hope. And we always said a new world order's losing our currency, troops on the streets, FEMA camps, cameras. It's all being announced now, and people are still writing op-ed pieces going, Alex Jones, the crazy lunatic, believes in a new world order. What kind of crazy? Or they say, yeah, there's a new world order. That just means a new international system. The new world order is upon us, full of hope. Oh, full of hope, promise, and a fair amount of fear. In our recent discussions regarding the direction of our country, we noted the risk of catering to conventional wisdom and the implications of the U.S. dollar. So see, then they say, we got something daring, new, and unconventional. We got hope, and it's the new world order, and guess what it is? The North American Union. You know, this is now owned by News Corp. This is Fox News here. They now own the Wall Street Journal. The many of ill mantra is to provide financial news you know to know before you need to know it. There is a fine line between walk as foreseen, and reading this wrong, there is a fine line to walk as foresight often flies in the face of mainstream acceptance. In 2006, it seemed counterintuitive to forecast a prolonged socioeconomic malaise entirely more depressing than a recession. So this insider pushing globalism is going, oh, I was so smart telling you 3 years ago this was going to happen. Well, of course. It's like somebody calling the police and saying this bank will be robbed next week on Tuesday because they know they're the one that's going to be robbing it. And I mean, the CFR loves to brag their heart-rubbing commission with Gary Hart going, I predicted we'd be attacked. I predicted it would happen. I predicted we would pass Homeland Security because they wrote up the plan for it. Well, yeah, you're a globalist. You're on the inside. For years, the notion of an invisible hand was conspiracy theory until we learned that a working group on financial markets was a central policy tool. So see, now they're unveiling it to everybody. Oh, there is a secret world banking group, but they care about you. And now as we gaze across the historically significant horizon, we must open our minds to thoughts and ideas that may seem foreign to folks, conditioned by the past and stunned by the present. And I'm now hearing kind of other mainline conservative hosts now that Fox News is talking about this, and now that, remember, Limbaugh said the CFR didn't exist 10 years ago. Now they're on TV every day. So I'm hearing kind of mainline talk show hosts start going, folks, I know this is kooky, but it's a world government. Oh, and people are like going, my God, did you hear what Glenn Beck said, Alex? You're stealing everything he says. He just announced all this. Well, I don't territorialize this info. The problem is Glenn Beck will only give you half the truth. Currency crossroads. As governments take on more risk as they price assets on behalf of the market, I skipped one of the paragraphs. And now, as we gaze across our historically significant horizon, we must open our minds to thoughts and ideas that may seem foreign to folks conditioned by the past and stunned by the present. So see, They didn't want to tell the public they were setting up world government and bankrupting the currency and setting up FEMA camps and doing all of this. But now the establishment thinks it's too late. They're coming out going, yeah, we built camps for you. Yeah, we're federalizing everything. Yeah, it's a world government. And now Glenn Beck can come out and others and go, yeah, it's a world government. The bankers are running everything because they think it's too late. They have now engineered their operation. So now, because it's now time to have open world government, they're like going, yeah, it's here, world government. Yeah, I know you're stunned by your past thoughts. You know, they're being patronizing here. Our minds to thoughts and ideas that may seem foreign to folks conditioned by the past and stunned by the present. Oh, you were conditioned by us, they're saying. But now, like Karl Rove said, we change your reality with a snap of a finger. We just, okay, it never existed. We were never at war with East Asia. Now we've always been at war with East Asia. You understand? 2 + 2 = 10. And then they go into the currency crossroads. The only way to save America, the only way is world government. Okay, we're going to take care of you. World government's going to help. It's on the way.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes.
I was just talking to one of my friends during the break on the
you
phone.
You that build all the bombs.
And a lot of people go to the local farmer's market
you
in Austin and buy raw milk, but somebody narked
you
on that. So now no more raw milk. That's the freedom. That's what our forefathers fought for. So everything's regulated and controlled. There's little tattletale scum everywhere.
You that never done nothing.
Who just revel.
But built to destroy.
Absolutely revel.
You play with my world.
And groveling up to Big Brother and destroying their own future by being little tattletales.
You put a gun in my hand.
This article continues, and I'm going to get to it in a moment. You know, they tell us the New World Order's here, and it's going to help us. And they go on and basically say that North American Union is the answer.
You lie and deceive.
So we'll go over that and then get back into the latest huge FEMA camp development as more and more of how it actually is going to work materializes before our eyes. They're telling us how these centers will work, and it's exactly what I've said all these years. I'm not going to come out and say it's an evil death camp. It's going to turn into that. It's a center for those that have been displaced and Briggs for troublemakers, and Northcom and the Army will run it and run your local cities. I mean, we've got to fight Al-Qaeda and the evil right-wing Americans. Get ready. They're going to take your pension funds, everything you got. If they succeed in this, it's about financially raping all of us. So all of you that thought you were part of the system and like the newscast and dramas and sitcoms making fun of patriots and those that talked about all this, now you're going to get gang raped by the New World Order. Before I go back to the news and the information, I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors today. People say I have a lot of sponsors. We haven't even gotten to a sponsor yet, a live sponsor. They're all just great folks. A Survival Seed Bank. And let me tell you about those folks. In a real crisis, having non-hybrid seeds means having the ability to grow an endless supply of nutrient-dense food to feed your loved ones. There have been times in American history, pilgrims for example, when seeds had the highest value of any barter item, even silver or gold. I just got two packages I bought from these guys. There's a war on against non-hybrid seeds waged by the global elite who want to control by controlling the food supply. Governments are storing seeds and the UN is storing seeds. Globalists of every stripe are storing seeds near the Arctic Circle. Why do you think this is? You don't know, control, and power. Solutions from Science is trying to get seeds out of the globalist hands and into the hands of the people, one seed bank at a time, one family at a time. SurvivalSeedBank.com is the website. Check them out today. Go to the website or give them a call to order seeds, 877-327-0365. These are heirloom, non-GMO, non-hybrid, 877-327-0365 or SurvivalSeedBank.com. And, of course, we have a lot of new items on the Infowars.com store, the online video and bookstore shopping cart. We now have gorgeous dark navy blue tyranny response team hats. They look like law enforcement hats. People say, what is that? What is that group? It's a great way to meet like-minded people. Great conversation piece. Great way to reach out. You can wear it with the navy blue shirt, with the yellow tyranny response team, Infowars.com on the shoulder. It's available right now at Infowars.com. We just got in Infowars.com wintertime black beanie hats. Great for deer hunting or out in the cold. They're black. Say Infowars.com on them. We have the new attorney response team ball caps and Eye of the Phoenix just came in today. It just came out, the third part in the America's Secret Histories series. They first made the first one, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Eye of the Phoenix DVD now available. Go check that out at Infowars.com or call toll free for the hats, the beanies, the t-shirts, the films. It's all part of the InfoWar, 888-253-3139. Back in 70 seconds. We are back live already into hour number four. I was going over Market Watch. How realistic is a North American Union currency? Uniting U.S., Canada, Mexico money could result from crisis. And it goes on to say the New World Order is upon us, full of hope, promise. Oh. While they were building it, doesn't exist. Building the FEMA camps, getting the troops ready to engage us, doesn't exist. But we knew what was happening. We knew what was going on. We were warning you. Will you now listen? And then there's this article. Oh. Now I'm going to come back and we're going to talk to Anti-Illuminati, Lynn, Mike, Barry, Carmen, Anthony, and others that are patiently holding. Until the bottom of the hour, I'm going to take some phone calls. I'm going to hear what you have to say about the first hour if you heard it where I broke this down. Then I'm going to go back over it in more detail and continue with calls. But and I want to go back and remind you of May 24, 2006, we had the secret FEMA documents. And then over a year later, it came out in mainstream news that, yes, it was exactly as we said. Well, yeah, we had it from preachers, secret FEMA documents, training them to tell their flocks, go to the camps, turn your guns in, it's of the Lord. They're not doing all this for nothing. You know, they're saying, well, we're doing this now with the FEMA camps because of the economic collapse. You're going to have to go to them. And we're going to run your local cities. But, oh, it's just because of the economic collapse. They've just been quietly setting this up for a long, long time. Secret FEMA plan to use pastors as pacifiers in preparation for martial law, forced inoculation, and so much more. And by the way, the pastor sent me these. And I said, okay, do I need to black your name out? And he said, yes. I said, do I need to black the fax number off? And he goes, no, it's a little local store. They don't even know me. I went to another little town. FEMA and Homeland Security went days after this story broke on our website. Butch Paul first covered it, but that didn't get the big attention it did on the show here. We had the preacher on. They went, because we left the fax number on there, put a bunch of pages up. I should have taken it off, but he said, you know, didn't have to do it. They went, got the security camera tapes, found out what his car was, found out which preacher it was. And they walked in to the hospital where he volunteers. He has a large flock as well, but hospital where he volunteers said, you're fired. Get out of here. You know why. Don't you ever talk about this stuff again. And then we talked to another pastor as well who was scared to come on air but gave us the same documents. People said, oh, it's not real. Oh, it's fake documents. You know, you're just making it all up. And then it's been on the news. In fact, I don't have it loaded in the computer here, but we've never played it on TV. We've always aired the audio. Pull up FEMA pastors for martial law, and there'll be several newscasts. Cue that up during the break. I want to find one of those for later in the show. It'll be on YouTube. In fact, Paul Watson wrote articles a year and a half later when we were proven right. Yeah, so you're hitting date added. Yep, here it is. Pastors for martial law, continuity of government. So we'll show people that newscast. Actually, that's a remix where somebody put congressman talking about martial law mixed in with it. But I'll find it during the break. The point is that we're going to go over that. But first, we're going to go to your phone calls when we come back. Also, how realistic is a North American currency? I want to point you at Infowars.com to link through the Wall Street Journal and read this. As governments take on risk, as the price assets on behalf of the market transfer debt from private to elite bankers, the common denominator or release valve becomes the currency. If our economic condition is allowed to take medicine in the form of debt destruction, the greenback will appreciate, and asset classes as a whole will deflate. If we continue to inject drugs that mask symptoms rather than address the disease, the likelihood of a seismic readjustment increase in kind. Then they go on to say, the answer is the North American currency. You know, that's what's going to come from this. And it says the North American currency, called the Amero, in select circles would effectively co-mingle the Canadian dollar, U.S., and Mexico peso. And then they go on to say that, you know, it's coming. Get ready for it.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I cannot find words to describe how serious it is that FEMA came out and announced that they built all these FEMA camps for the American people, and now they're trying to pass legislation under NORTHCOM to forcibly merge your local police, the National Guard, and everything underneath these systems. And they're going to have tens of thousands of preachers going around telling their flocks to go to the FEMA camps. Right now on screen, right here, we have the newscast a year and a half after we broke it, admitting exactly what we said, but spinning it like martial law is a good thing and all this stuff's great. This is real. And just like in Nazi Germany, they'd say, we're relocating you because the economic downturn or the war to a place where you'll be safe. And then they're saying also troublemakers will have to be held in the camps. So this is how they're going to introduce it, get the local police and military to follow orders and go along with it. And then they can turn the heat up. So this is happening. This is going on. We're going to go to your phone calls now. Yesterday, I had a bunch of callers who were on hold when the show ended, and I promised that if they called back today, they would go to the head of the line when we did open the phones up. And Anthony in Georgia, we're going to go to in a moment, has called back. He started getting into an analogy of Barack Obama, and then we had to cut him off because the show ended. So I wanted to go back to Anthony. And also, I'm doing Men on the Street interviews, one of the last things I'm shooting for this Obama deception film. And we're also going to take some clips from the show of listeners calling in about Barack Obama with their take on him, but particularly African Americans, because I've been pleasantly pleased and surprised because I really thought that the Obama folks, black or white, were completely sold on his fraud. But particularly black folks that I'm talking to really know what's going on and see right through it. Now it turns out one of the top guys in Public Enemy came out, and I didn't even know this. I saw some other videos. He's a fan of the show, you know, not just KRS-One. KRS-One was telling me the other night, he said, man, so much of hip-hop just loves you. And I'd heard that, but I didn't really know that. So the good news is not everybody is drinking the Kool-Aid here. And that's going to become more and more evident as things get worse and worse. Now, I had a Obama supporter in the trailer for the Obama deception film comment and say that by me criticizing Obama and saying he's selling out on his promises and is just a puppet of the elite, that I somehow am a traitor. And I've gotten hundreds of these emails. There's on this one trailer just a few days after we released it, thousands of comments. And the majority of them are awake and know what's going on. A lot of them are, you know, pointing out that they're black folks and that they see right through Obama and that I exposed Bush for 8 years and that this is nonpartisan, that we're trying to get folks to look past, like KRS-One has said, past the Burger King manager, George Bush or Barack Obama, to the franchise owners, the elite. These presidents are diversions to keep us looking down here instead of up there at the real power structure. And you look at these comments. This is from JX Ford One from YouTube on our official Obama trailer, the Obama deception. Why didn't this piece of bleeping producer, creator, take on Bush? This looks like far right wing propaganda machine that will break down soon enough. People are tired of bull crap and need solutions. If you're not part of the solution, you're, let me start over. If you're not part of it, then you are a disruptor. So he says, if you are not part of it, then you are a disruptor. Get ready for the new O generation, one of responsibility and servitude for the greater good. United States of America is the greatest country ever. Well, servitude is not service. Service is what you choose to do for humanity, and you choose how you do that. Servitude in the dictionary is slavery. But that's what this fake service is, this compulsory service. It is slavery. So this person's own ignorance shines through here, and they inadvertently tell the truth and talk about servitude. So we're taking your phone call, seeing what you think of Barack H. Obama. Is he a Judas goat? Is he a front man? Is he a betrayer? Let's go to Anthony in Georgia. Anthony, what's your take on Barack Obama?
Okay, Alex, it's an honor talking to you. Basically, I compare Barack Obama to a vampire, and he's like the black vampire, like on the 1995 movie with Eddie Murphy, A Vampire in Brooklyn, because of his AFRICOM policy. And AFRICOM is basically U.S. African Defense Ministry. And on February 6th of 2007, the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, during the Bush administration, with the same Defense Secretary Obama carried over, declared his operations in Africa under the title of AFRICOM. And then on February 10th, 4 days later, Obama announces his candidacy for president. And so, you know, a lot of people are thinking, well, it's just a poor continent with a whole bunch of third world countries out there, so it doesn't matter. But they don't realize a big picture. Africa has the most abundant natural resources, the most abundant amount of gold, the most abundant amount of natural gas, the most abundant amount of diamonds, the most abundant amount of pure metals such as iron and such as steel than any other landmass on the planet Earth. And throughout history, every empire has dreamed of controlling Africa, because the emperor knows as soon as they have control over Africa, they have all the natural resources and they have all the manpower they need to conquer the world.
Well, let me interrupt and elaborate on that. They have NORTHCOM, the military jurisdiction over the United States, openly being set up for martial law and 20,000 combat troops to be used against the American people. That's being announced. So they set up Homeland Security and then turn it against the people, what it was meant to do all along. Bush continues. He passes the baton to Obama. He continues the same policy. And yes, they want, instead of SOUTHCOM or NORTHCOM or CENTCOM over different regions of the world, they're setting up AFRICOM, and they're admitting that the U.S. forces need to go into Africa. Now, you made another point, though, that I want you to elaborate on and repeat today, because we weren't recording then and you got cut off. I want to put it in the film. Continue, sir, with your analogy of they're looking through the peephole. I mean, in your own words, repeat that.
Right. They put the face of Barack Obama as part of their public relations, because it's like in the old folk tales about vampires. A vampire cannot force his way into somebody's house. It's against some kind of metaphysical law. So the vampire has to persuade the resident of the household to open the door and invite him in. So they're going to look at the people at Barack Obama, which looks like them and appears to be on their side. They're going to say, okay, here's my ally. Let me open the door and let me let this person in. And then Barack Obama is just, of course, a front man for the American empire, where he's going to have the entire U.S. Navy, the entire U.S. Army, and the entire U.S. Marines under AFRICOM command. And, of course, he's going to turn it into a new Iraq, and he's going to turn it into a new Afghanistan. Everything, every operation that you see going on in Iraq and Afghanistan is going to propagate to the poor countries of Africa.
Well, sir, I agree with you. They're looking to the people. They see a handsome, smiling African face. You know, he's all, hey, I'm from Kenya. And then it's a total bait and switch. But it's the same thing here in the United States, where they would get sellout Native American chiefs to sell out their people. This is the oldest trick in the book. And he can also pacify the most downtrodden minority groups in the United States. And he's saying, hey, get ready for sacrifice. Get ready to lose your standard of living. They're like, yay, I love Obama. They could never get away with this with a John McCain. And so you're absolutely right. Talking to folks in your community, are they waking up?
I'm trying to talk to some people. I actually know a lot of African immigrants here. And, you know, and they're just ecstatic Barack Obama is elected president. Even in Kenya, I talked to a Kenyan. They actually have a Barack Obama day now. They marked on the calendar. They're celebrating his birthday. and not trying to tell them in 4 years you're going to erase that calendar. You're not going to stand.
Did you see the first thing? Did you see the first thing Barack Obama did when he got elected? Is he doubled the quote family planning, which is really eugenics, the inoculations,
right.
Birth control, the abortions in Africa, and then he's funding forced abortions in China, and even the liberal Huffington Post decried that. So he's bringing death to Africa, and I agree, they need him to continue their operation, because Africa's been saying no to GMO food, no to the inoculations, no to the Planned Parenthood. They have figured it out. They've got African Nobel laureates saying HIV was invented. The documents have been declassified. So Africa's waking up, and the establishment needs Barack Obama. I totally agree with you.
Exactly. And in my analysis, it seems like America is stealing a page from history, because the Romans did the exact same thing. There was a man named Septimus Severus. And from 145 A.D. to 211 A.D., he was the first Roman emperor born of the African province of Rome. And guess what, Alex? He was a mulatto. His father was of Libyan descent from the Berber tribe. And his mother was Italian descent of the Roman lineage. And, of course, he pushed the Roman Empire further into Syria, went on into further east into Syria, and also conquered further west in the Britannian area. And he increased Roman legions from 25 to 33 sovereign legions of the Empire of Rome. So it looks like they're doing the same thing all over again. They're getting somebody. And from his own literature, and from people who were critiquing him, he seemed to be harsher on the African people than the natural-born European presence of the Roman Empire in Africa. So they're getting their own kind to turn on their own kind, pretty much. They always get a native-born person of the tribe they want to betray to be the betrayers, because they'll be trusted more and they'll have more open doors toward them. And that's exactly what's going to happen towards Africa. And, you know, my heart goes out to them, because you know, even though I don't know them by name, because, of course, I don't even know my last name still, you know, all tribalism aside, I feel a connection to every person on this world. And black, white, red, yellow, you know, we all need to come together and stop this.
Exactly. And that's why I can't buy into the hype in the name of false brotherhood and say I'm endorsing Obama just for feel good. I have a responsibility to reach out to everybody and tell them the truth, because the people deserve that. Good to hear from you, my friend. I appreciate you calling.
No problem, Alex. Thanks.
Take care, Anthony from Georgia. All right, we're going straight to your calls. Anti-Illuminati, Lynn, Mike, Barry, Cameron, Mike, everybody else. In fact, Mike will be first. He disagrees. Stay with us. This is the GCN Radio Network. All right, let's try to go to your calls as quickly as possible here. Let's talk to Mike in Montreal, Canada, disagrees. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to preface real quick. You're one of the reasons I got off the street, got clean, got my life together, educated myself, and taken my education to such a high level that, you know, I can talk out people that have gone to universities and stuff, and because of guests like Alan Watt that you have on. And I owe you so much, and even the faith that you've given, you speak about, and it's just bringing my faith to a whole new level, and I'm so grateful for that. I really am. I do owe you my life. Thank you very much, Alex. The only thing I have to disagree with is the comment sections at the end of your articles. I find all of your articles so empowering. I read through them, and then, like everybody, I scroll through every comment, and by the end of that, I'm just so tired from the disinformation that's on there. And even I've noticed in your show, you spend so much time just speaking about all that disinformation. It's just taking so much energy away from
us. Stop for just a minute. Look, if I go to a YouTube video with our trailer posted with almost 70,000 views in 2 days, and I point out that this person says that we're right-wing and how dare us not expose Bush out of ignorance, we're showing that they're ignorant, and we're showing that he says it's one of responsibility and servitude. They're saying we're going to be slaves, and I'm pointing out that they think slavery is freedom. So I don't think that's spending time on disinformation. That's spending time looking at what people are doing. You know, we don't censor InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the comment sections. But the disinformation all day accuses us of it as they're there posting. Now, there is some problems with our servers and caching and WordPress, and I can't still post at my house to my websites for some reason. We do have things like, kill the president erased. There's a few words that are blocked, but there's not people actively in there, censoring it. So we let them go on and lie about us and say horrible things about us and, do terrible things. And, we leave it up when somebody puts a link to where I live, except it's not where I live. So I kind of feel sorry for whoever lives there. There's a lot of Alex Joneses in this world, including four of them in Austin. But Alex Jones called me like 2 weeks ago and said, I had somebody come knock on my door. What the hell? Can't you make them? Hey, man, I'm sorry. That's this bad person doing this, not me. We had to take things like K-I-L-L Obama. We had to take that. We had to ban that term because I had the Secret Service out here twice. But other than that, we did the comment sections for the First Amendment, even though it's our site and we can do whatever we want, to open it up and have debate. And so it does let the disinfo in and does let them do that. But it makes the sites bigger, more dynamic, more popular. They've only grown since we've done it. And it's the big boy world, big boy pants time. And people are learning about the disinfo. And the answer to all the disinfo in there is go in there as a good person and post documents, post news articles, post stories, post information. And don't feed the trolls, as they say. When I get up on air and occasionally mention it, it's not to feed trolls. It's to point out that this person isn't a troll. I mean, a troll's not going to say it's time for us to be in servitude. This isn't even sarcasm. This is an ignorant person. So I'm just illustrating their mental bondage when I do that. But, maybe you're right. Maybe I should get rid of the message board. And the message board does have some censorship in it because I set that up and we had a few moderators on there because people were saying the same thing, go kill this person, go kill that person. I had the police calling me 4 or 5 years ago. So I picked a few moderators. I think some of them may go overboard sometimes. And I've even called a few of the moderators. They don't really work for us. Just people that we've seen have a good track record and say, hey, let folks attack me in there. Do that. But there are no moderators on the InfoWars and Prison Planet. And people are in there going crazy. But that's what freedom looks like. And, what am I supposed to do? There's CENTCOM guys on there saying they're going to rape my wife. I mean, that's who they are. It really shows us who they are. They kind of discredit themselves, don't you think?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for answering my question. And just real quick, I just wanted to mention, I really think atheism is a new form of a soft kill weapon. And there's just so much research that's been done.
Yeah, it is. It makes you not be tied into your higher consciousness. It makes you just think that you're just a machine off pheromones and ideas, and you only love your baby because of oxytocin, none of this stuff is real, and it's all hormones. So if they kill masses of us, it's no big deal. They're great scientists. Yes, it's a way to kill your natural instinct to survive. They're trying to turn that instinct off, turn the family off, so they can have superiority.
Thank you very much, Alex. I owe you my life. Thank you, my friend.
Well, I mean, how did you awaken when we explained that being on drugs, being in the system, lets the enemy win, and it's not radical and cool? It's radical and cool to be upright and strong and focused and informed?
Well, I just never had any positive role male models, and I remember hitting rock bottom. I really remember what that's like and just feeling completely powerless, uneducated.
Stay there. I want to hear more about this, and we'll get everybody else's call. Stay with us, folks. InfoWars.com. There's a woman in the night. She's got a baby in her hands. She wants to go to the light, but she's got to have another fix, folks. They're shipping that heroin into her from Central Asia, from Afghanistan. And they're going to CPS her baby. And they're going to hop it up on drugs. They're going to do medical experiments on it. And the dumbed-down public's going to think they're still in Disneyland and not really know they're in hell. The whole United States is one big sin city. Let's play this one line. There's a woman in the night with a baby in her hands. And then we're going to go back to anti-Illuminati. No, we were talking to Mike in Montreal. Then I'm going to run through your calls and get more into the FEMA camps and some other news. But anybody you've warned about the New World Order that's laughed at you, they can't laugh anymore. It's all public now. Now is the time to reach out to people and to warn them. And as things get worse, they will remember what you told them. We have a chance to turn this around. Crank it up. There's a woman in the night. She's counting on you to help her, folks. Okay, sir, give us your testimony of waking up, getting in power, getting out of the system, getting out of all the modes of control they try to put over you. Go ahead.
Thank you. That song was awesome. I do remember hitting rock bottom, and there's nothing worse than waking up, not having any education, barely knowing how to read or write, and being in the system and trying to get out and having everybody in your life, all of your friends, still in that lifestyle and trying to overcome that. But the only thing that allowed me to do that is having the desire and the want to do that. You know, I wanted to become educated. I wanted to know how to read and write. I wanted to find the truth. And honestly, you are one of the reasons I followed through on that, and I got access to more information. But I have to admit, I did follow a lot of, like, disinfo books and on how to become more awakened and stuff, and, you know, all the disinformation stuff. But
that's what happens. That's all part of the process. Then you develop a palette to
absolutely
tell us.
Absolutely, and I just have to say, one of your guests, Alan Watt, he's the absolute source for amazing information. And if you just listen to all of his lectures, you'd be more educated than anyone with a PhD. You know, that's just my take on that. Just absolutely genius guy.
That's why we have him on.
Thing. Yeah, you just have to want it, Alex, and I'm proof of that. You have to want to get better. You have to want to educate yourself. And when you do it, there's nothing more empowering than knowing who your enemies are, how you're getting suckered. And I love it. I love being awake, Alex. And the New World Order is never going to break me. I'm telling you that right now. Never.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you. Okay, let's go to Anti-Illuminati in Nevada. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, Alex, thanks for taking my call. This is Anti-Illuminati from your Prison Planet Forum message board. The main topic I want to touch on is P-TECH and the mind control technology that exists. But before I do that, I want to have a little message for a certain group of people that serve the New World Order, and that's the people that work at the Department of Public Safety in every state that are that think that they're providing for the security of people by entering all these people into sex offender registry databases. You people have been exposed. Your departments are all under NORTHCOM, okay? Anyone can just type in Northern Command and Department of Public Safety. You'll get thousands of hits. They've got all these different databases called Justice Exchange, Alert Express, Sonar. And here's the thing about all this stuff. All the computer systems in the world of all the big corporations and military, they're all compromised from the P-TECH software that was used to facilitate the 9/11 attacks that was installed on the FAA computers in NORAD by Felix Rausch,
yes,
one of the globalist top computer programmers. Okay, so the underlying thing about the New World Order's scientific dictatorship, to be more specific, a lot of it is a computer dictatorship.
No, I know. It's a unified grid. They built the system. They have all the back doors. And then all the major keys to the back doors are held by Israel.
Yep. And they can, you know, if they wanted to, they can basically they could cause any airliner to crash in the world. After 9/11, Raytheon got all these contracts on a global basis. For example, they were contracted out to revamp the air traffic control systems at the Basra Airport in Baghdad. So it's like, hey, we'll keep you safe, but we're basically living in a real life version of live free or die hard. I mean, if the American people are going to retake their government back or any nation, part of doing that is you're going to, you know, this system has to be exposed and shut down.
That's right. They use films like that where the one government guy, you know, steals all the money out of the bank accounts, and now look what the bankers are actually doing. They're stealing all the money out of the bank accounts and then posing as the saviors, saying, make us world government powers, make us the new world order, we'll fix it. And it's even in the Wall Street Journal saying, oh, we're going to have a new Amero, a new North American Union. It's a new idea we just got to save the economy. How many years did I say they'd implode the economy, offer the North American Union, that's how they'd sell it? And now, after denying it, they're now announcing it because it means they're about to try to publicly bring it in. It's already there, it's already operating, and it's high treason.
And another thing that's really that people need to look at, I mean, I urge anybody to go on your forum and just search for PTEC. I post a lot of stuff on there. I've got almost 1,000 posts total. I did a lot of research on it. It's extremely important because it explains, you know, a lot of people, they can't really understand, well, how is the New World Order so powerful?
The state police, the local police, are all under NORTHCOM in the threat integration fusion centers, and now they're announcing onto the fusion centers they've built or are building giant FEMA camps where pastors will oversee us, and where, again, the economy will bankrupt. First, they'll put people in them who want to be there, and then they'll advertise that and condition everybody to accept it. That's what's so incredible about this new legislation, because they admit it all exactly as I broke it down, because I was looking at all the pieces. And then I said, when they get ready to really prepare to use this, or when they get ready to attempt to use this, they will roll it out. Not, we're putting you in a death camp, but, oh, it's an emergency center for your safety, protected by the police. And they're doing it. I appreciate your call, sir. Good to hear from you. We talked to that guy for hours, but we've got to get to other callers. Lynn in Connecticut, you're on the air worldwide.
Hello.
Hey, Lynn.
Oh, yes. Hi, Alex. Thank you. I just want to say you're a great honor to our nation, and we love you. Before I get to the FEMA camps, I'll be quick with you. You talk about the preachers. I happen to have joined a society. I'm a traditionalist Catholic, and you probably never heard of Bishop Williamson, but he speaks out against the New World Order all the time. So I'm happy I finally belong to a church that speaks out against, you know, what's going on. And he's telling us, like, what to do. Do you think we need to, like, have backpacks and, like, go into hiding and everything? Or
no. We no? need to fight like the Dickens now to expose the agenda, because this is a very unpopular criminal agenda. We have to know how they're going to roll their agenda out. We have to know how they're always going to put a nice face on it. We have to say no, 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 and scream bloody murder. Then they won't be able to get this agenda through. This, I mean, they may have the high ground with the power and the money, but we have the high ground spiritually and in the right, and we have the people. And the folks are now waking up, and this Obama delusion is already starting to fade somewhat, and it's going to only fade faster. But yes, be prepared. That if they start saying, well, due to rioting and the breakdown of no food, they're going to make you, if they decide to pull the trigger on this, if we expose them enough and they put up trial balloons as they're doing now, they may back off and then keep building and waiting for a future date. See, we're backing them off. But now it looks like we've backed them off. But now they're just, you know, it appears that they're going to go ahead and launch in the next 6 months to 2 years. It appears. I mean, this is one of the final pieces of the puzzle when they come out and announce, yes, camps for your safety. Camps, happy, fun places, but you'll have to work in the camps because the economy's bad. Service. So you have to be ready that if things are breaking down and falling apart, you won't have to go to the Superdome to be loaded on trucks and helicopters to be taken to a FEMA camp. Or you have to be ready to be self-sufficient. And then they'll come through in phase two and try to confiscate your guns and take you to a camp because you're not allowed to stay. And at that point, you have to say, And it'll still be on radio and TV. There'll still be some power in areas, and, you know, if they go with this operation. And it'll, you'll see the camps, the people eating food and watching Obama on big screen TVs, you know, in the outside areas and living in tents and in portable buildings. And, you know, it'll show kids on jump ropes. Hey, the emergency FEMA center, it's great. And it will be great, except for those being taken off to the back 40 and, you know, put in an acid bath or killed. Or flown to a black site, but no, they're going to PR the camps. You got to ask when that truck pulls up. Are you going to go to the camp?
No.
And at that point, you know, God helps those that helps themselves, and that's the point where it's lock and load time.
Oh, okay, good. That's good to know.
It also, yeah, that's when it's lock and load. And I mean, we're not looking for this. It's not a fun thing. It's not a happy thing. I'm not going to a camp where some piece of filth guard is going to break my family up and take me off for interrogation so they can torture me for 2 years and put me on TV saying, you know, that I was a bank robber. It ain't happen. And that's it. I'm committed. You know, I mean, that's the way it is. You know, I'm not out there offensively doing anything. No. I'm not getting on an army truck. I'm not going anywhere. And we have to commit and say, that's it. You know, we're not going to your stinking camps that you said didn't exist, and now, oh, we just built them to save you. They just popped up like mushrooms after a rain. It's brand new because of the economic problem.
I know. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I feel bad because so many people I talk to, they don't believe, you know.
Well, they're going to say, but Obama says it's for our safety. And then again, if they can't get their agenda through, that will be a victory for us. It won't happen under Obama. It'll happen under Schwarzenegger or whoever comes next. And then we'll be here fighting it when there's camps all around us and they've got PR announcements. What's wrong with the camps? The camps are great. See, and then it'll be like, Alex, so they built camps. You're not in it yet, are you? As we fight politically to say no. You understand?
Yes, yes.
Well, see, it's a PR war. It's not like one day everybody's grabbed and goes to the camp. Study Nazi Germany.
I know.
It took 10 years to really get it going before they were, you know, first they'd lock down neighborhoods. And that's what Homeland Security says. Life will be locked down neighborhoods showing, you know, to get out of your neighborhood. They already have towns all over the country where you're not allowed to go out 24 hours a day without showing passes. They call it martial law.
Here
they call
Connecticut.
It Connecticut, Kentucky, all over Arkansas, Oklahoma. I mean, we played the newscast here and there's checkpoints at every street. Everybody shows their ID to go to work, and then they say, go right back home. It's already begun, and you've got a local FEMA command center. The troops are advising all of that. They've just come back from Iraq and Fallujah and Basra, where they run those ops, and to them it's normal.
Yeah.
See, and so they've got to acclimate the troops and the military. All that, well, it's a camp. We're here giving them food. We had a problem at the camp. We had to take the guy that wanted to leave. We had to ship him to one of the more secure camps. Well, where did Bob go? Are you causing a problem under the Patriot Act? We have zero tolerance. You heard that lawyer, top lawyer last hour, say that arguing with any of them is at least 20 years in prison. He said that's the sentence. 20 years in prison for talking to them.
Wow.
All right, you're arguing. We're taking your children to this area. They're getting shot. Sir, America's in trouble. We're just trying to do our job. This is exactly how it's going to be. He calls a disturbance. Send him to Camp 7. And then they'll put you on a helicopter, fly you 100 miles, and there it'll be, you son of a bitch, you want to cause problems? Come here, Jones. Knock your teeth out, you son of a bitch. I used to see your website, and I used to come. Die, you son of a bitch. Yeah, we rule America. Hell yeah. And that's what it's about, stealing and grabbing and snatching and just doing whatever they want. Well, it isn't going to happen.
I know.
I'm not going to be in there with those pieces of filth with their dogs and they're torturing people. I'm not going to be part of it. It isn't happening.
I know. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Almost broke my hand there. But that's who these demons are. They're just going to love it. Men and women cornered all day. The Army's own report admitted 97% of those picked up at Iraq checkpoints and taken to scores of camps just didn't have their ID in order. And they take them in there, and they hired former federal prison guards who'd lost their jobs for torture and rape, and they're just waiting. and they just bring in the children, and they go, you're going to tell me you're Al-Qaeda? Bring the five-year-old here in front of them. The parents are chained down, and they just, all right. I mean, literally, that's in the Army reports. Give me the battery acid. I'm going to put battery acid all over this. You're Al-Qaeda. And they're going to come back to America, and they're just lying. They're psychopathic killers. Same guys you see out grabbing women off the road. But now they're in a uniform. I'm Officer Demoski. I got a Clockwork Orange. And isn't a joke, ladies and gentlemen. They're everywhere. They just love death and destruction. They love feeding. They love pain. They love the power trip of just knocking teeth out and killing people and beating them to death all day. And just, ha, 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 yes, yes, oh. And that's what the Army report. So it's going to be the same with you. Officer, what's this checkpoint? What's going on? Get out of the car. Hey, officer, I'm not going anywhere. Well, your papers aren't in order. But I'm... That's it. They argued with us. Patriot Act. Patriot Act. Bill, where are you going? The children are crying. Ma'am, we'll take you to a facility. It's all right. He's just going for interrogation and a security check. Move forward. Next car. Lots of young guys on power trips, walking over and inspecting, You know, they're all compartmentalized, just doing their job. They've been assessed, analyzed for that personality type. But Bob, he's going to be trucked to a facility 200 miles away where they're just waiting. And they have those camps all over the world, and they're just waiting, just psychos. The dungeon keepers. And they love it. They love the humiliation. They love the screams of pain. On Taxi to the Dark Side, they admit they would just grab innocent camel herders. They just had numbers to show of terror, and they would beat them for, you know, like 10, 15 hours straight till their legs liquefied. And they would just take them and go, throw them in the pit. Bleah. And then they'd have doctors go fill out the report that they, you know, died of a heart attack, some 16-year-old. Bring me another to the pit. And I'm going to beat you. I mean, what kind of psycho just beats people for 10 hours? And they would take turns beating, beating and beating. Oh, I love the demonic power. Just seething with hatred, seething with evil. That's their spirit, crushing it. That's who we're facing. Degenerate scumbag filth everywhere, feeding on you and your family. We're going to beat these bastards. They're not going to stop us. Take a look out your window there. There's a scene you'd like to catch. You know, we got loaded phone lines. I don't want to go to all your calls, but I wanted to get more into the FEMA camp legislation. I covered it the first hour. It's about to re-air in the rebroadcast on the internet streams at Infowars.com in T-minus 5 minutes, 35 seconds. Yeah, sometimes Satan comes a man of Obama peace. Satan comes a man of peace. Now, first he's in the back. All right. Looks I'm not joking about the cadres of psycho torturers they've got. Instead of being scared and cowing to them, realize they're a bunch of bully, scumbag, filth. And if I can gut up and be on the front lines fighting them, no matter what comes of it, you can do the same thing, too. Just commit to it. You ever grown up in life and bullies when you were 13, 14 years old? You know, they might be 18 or beating you up. And finally, you just learn how to get mad. It's always kind of good when you're somebody starts a fight with you and you're kind of worried about it. So that first punch connects with your head and you just, just fire up. Now you're going to get it. And then those cowards, the bullies, all of a sudden go, because they can tell it's ass whooping time. Huge can of whoop ass is about to be opened. Well, we are going to kick the New World Order's butt. Satan, he comes as a man of peace. Stop being suckers. Another caller called in that disagreed there. I'm not going to have time to get to him. Maybe I'll have time to get to Brian here at the very end of the show before the rebroadcast and the key analysis of the FEMA camp. I did an hour on it. I meant to get back into it, but it's coming up right now. But without these sponsors, we wouldn't even be here. And one of them is eFoods Direct, eFoodsDirect.com, the best durable foods company out there, the best deals, the best prices. And I just hope that you'll give eFoods Direct a call, get a free catalog or free audio CD or watch the free videos materials at their website, eFoodsDirect.com. and find out more, because that's how they'll get you to go to the FEMA camp. They're going to have people begging to get in those camps. That's where the food's going to be, and the image of people, it's like getting the new Cabbage Patch doll, the new Beanie Baby. I want in the camp. The camp's fun. They'll even have Hollywood stars come out and sing for the people in the camp. They're going to make it fun. They're going to make it cool. That's how they're going to introduce it to you, and that's right there in the legislation. You understand that? So eFoodsDirect.com, don't be dependent on the system. Get to where you're self-sufficient, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. And another one of our fine sponsors that's made today's transmission possible is My Solar Backup, the best little solar package out there, 1,800 watts, mysolarbackup.com, or 877-327-0365. You get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the power source 1,800, power plant, and high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, it generates free electricity once you've gotten the system. MySolarBackup.com or 877-327-0365. I don't have time to get to a caller that disagrees. Well, I'll give him 1 minute here at the end. Brian in Texas, what do you disagree with? I need to go to the FEMA camps, or they don't exist, or the Wall Street Journal isn't calling for a new world order and saying it will save us right now?
Alex, listen, what I disagreed with was, I hope I wasn't deceptive with your screener, but you had Joe Rogan on the other day, and Rogan posed the question. Y'all were talking about this collapse, and he says, you know, Alex, don't you believe that this is, you know, greed played a part? And you kind of let him off the hook, and I realize you want to get these guys on. You don't want them to, you know, confront them and wear them out and make them look stupid. But, look, this $4 a gallon for an extended period of time literally transferred billions of dollars in would-be mortgage money. Billions or trillions of dollars in would-be mortgage money from these people who cannot afford to pass up food, gas,
No. It was done to get people more in debt. Look, I'm bringing Joe, who didn't used to think 9/11 was an inside job, over to us. I've known Joe for 10 years. Joe was just in town and came in studio. Okay, so and then through Joe, I meet more celebrities so I can then convert over to reality. I'm out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Retransmission starts now, one place. Infowars.com and other family of websites like PrisonPlanet.com. Key analysis coming up now. Please listen carefully. This is key.